Hello and welcome to the Computer Gay Show. My name's David Turner. I'm here with Sean Bell.
Hello.
Matt Murray.
Hiya.
And our special guest this week is Tom Ory.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
All right.
Good. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting so far.
Go on.
There's a secret bit before. No one knows this, maybe, but there's like a secret chat room where we all hang out and chat.
And then yeah. you can't mention this stuff because then the podcast listeners, who are 99% of our audience, start to get upset because they feel
like
missing out on
that,
stuff.
Can't you? Like, give them that as well. Extra bit of cash.
You could. Sign up to the Patreon. Maybe we clip those bits and put that out on Patreon. Extra money.
It's very interesting.
I know. Let's start the show by thanking our Patreon producers this month. They are Aaron Patrick, the QuickBooks chap, Simon Nelson, Moomin Biscuits, Trans Rights of Human Rights, Dave Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gazman, Rocketman76, Smooth Monkey, Richard Sawyer, John Tempelli, Jackie Sniper, Sam Higton, Tom S, Stan, Philip with an F, Fred Fenge, Steve the Nuke Littler, Cutty, happy birthday TCGS, love from Major PDD, hashtag TCGSCon24, and a new Full Nels member has joined the ranks, Steve Lee. Thank you so much for going Full Nels. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TCGS. We have bonus shows, we have video content, Sonic versus Zonic is happening at some point. We promise it will happen this month. We will find out what Zonic is all about in the world of Sonic the Hedgehog Choose Your Own Adventure books. What's this here? I've got, someone's added things to my list here. Things. Not sure where to put this, but I have a section I'd like to call Feeling Sad. Mm. Oh, Tom, you've added to our show notes. Brilliant.
I thought that was all right.
It's a banging way to start a video games podcast. Yeah, what,
it's the best way.
Feeling Sad, what's up?
I didn't realise this was the start, to be honest. I just put the notes in there. So before before I go on to that, I just want to call out Fred Fenge. What a name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Fred Fenge.
Has that been talked about before? Like, that is a good name, isn't it?
I don't think we've highlighted Fred Fenge as a
master of our own. Yeah, it's...
You're making us feel bad.
I think, do you not pick favourites?
You can't.
We've definitely got favourites.
Obviously,
There's no need to call him that.
We don't
pick favourites on the show. But yeah, no, before the show, we decide who the best ones are. Definitely.
Yeah, Stan.
Stan.
Tom, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. I think maybe we should start by Matt apologising for the fuck up today, the blunder this morning when putting out the tweet this morning. Matt, do you want to explain?
Well, I just thought I'd do some research, and apparently I put your wrong job title, basically, Tom. Yeah. So for that, I do apologise.
I thought I got a demotion or something.
Went to your ex profile and looked at the information there, and then thought that was enough, but
misread the information there, Matt.
Right.
Do you want to explain, Sean? What did he do in the WhatsApp group? So after Tom, so you tweeted to say Tom was editor in chief of VG247, right?
Yeah.
And Tom replied, "That's not my job." You screenshotted that, put it in our WhatsApp group, and said, "Have I missed something?"
You screenshotted Tom's profile.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, you
I thought
have.
I was like, seriously wrong.
Yeah, you missed the word like former.
Former. Yeah. And
it's yeah. I just discounted.
So,
that
did you look at that list of former positions, Matt, and think, "God, he's busy, isn't he?"
I think I probably did actually. Yeah. That squeezes a lot in there.
He's got too much. So what are you doing these days, Tom? Well, what is your official title?
I'm Deputy Editorial Director at Gamer Network. So
that's
I still
show a bit of fucking respect, Matt.
I'm quite senior now. Quite like a big deal. So
big cheese.
Yeah, I still work with I still oversee VG247 and some other stuff. But yeah, I just
Would you call yourselves an editor of sorts?
No.
In chief? No, you wouldn't. Okay, fine.
No.
No. But at that level, at the level that you're at now, are you scared of us and what we're doing over here? Like taking out, you know, we're doing this part time, and we seem to be the biggest thing about gaming on the internet
on the planet
right now.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, one of the things I was going to bring up was I don't want this to come across in a rude way.
Go on.
But my question really, and I thought earlier about how to phrase this, and it was just, it boiled down to, who are you? Like, in like a, because I know who you are, like your names, right? Yeah, and I know you've been on the internet for a while, because somehow we talk to each other now and again. But I don't actually know who you are, or like, where did you come from? What's your background? Like, I don't know.
I mean, this just, you know what this reminds me of? I was listening to an interview with the editor of the NME magazine, who said he knew that his career was over when he went to Reading Festival and everyone was going to see the Arctic Monkeys. He'd never heard of them. Yeah, everyone was singing their words, and he went, right, well, we've missed it. We're out of touch now. It's kind of feels same similar. Thing, yeah. Well, we're an independent video games podcast that's been going for 8 years now, and we're pretty big. I think we're pretty big. Are we pretty big, Sean?
Pretty big.
We're pretty big, mate. Pretty big.
Yeah. So, but like, what would you like? Yeah. Well, how did you get to that? What do you? Were you in
just
games?
Kept
media?
Doing it for years.
Just talent. Yeah. Just sort of talent. No, what it was? We've been podcast. So Sean had a podcast called Midnight Resistance. You must have heard of that. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
You're lying, aren't you?
I've never listened to it, but I've heard of it, all right?
And I was on Joypod, and I started that because I was doing stand-up at the time, and then I moved to Milton Keynes, and there was no stand-up comedy places there, so I decided to do a podcast about video games. And then we all sort of had kids, so everything sort of went away, and then they got older and a little bit more manageable, and then we all sort of come back together. Some, the timeline's a bit squiffy there because you had your boy Sean
about a year or two in.
And then I had my second child just after that, it's not important, but yeah, we sort of started on Roll Muck, and that's where I met
Matt.
I was on there too. No, you weren't.
Yeah,
when were you on Roll Muck? What was your name on Roll Muck?
I don't know, but I was on Edge Forum then, and then we moved to there.
That's what we all did.
See, like, a different world. We could have been best mates.
We might have been. We don't know what your username was. We could have been best mates.
Yeah, that door is open.
I don't know. You kind of ruined that when I applied for a job when you were at Video Gamer, and you didn't even. You sort of sent me a message saying, ha ha ha.
I mean, I thought that was the appropriate response. Do people know? Have you explained what your application was?
My application met the requirements of the job application.
I think I'm trying to remember it, right? I'm pretty sure it was you doing like a self-recorded phone video with your usual like, I'm a comedian face. and then I think you said something like, hello, I'm the German man.
That was my character, and then, that I was going for, because you had characters.
And then
the,
did some,
video
some a bad accent for about a minute, and then that was it.
Wait, so I this was Jesus. This was when just I think the person that ended up getting that job was Jim. I think that was the period when I sent it in, and you put an advert out that said you were looking for a video, someone to work on video. And you had to send in a 5-minute video. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I tried to make the worst video known to man? So I donned my Call of Duty 3, I think it was Call of Duty Ghosts or something like that, t-shirt. I put a massive light behind me so you could barely see anything. And then I had a character called the German Man, which I thought was good. And not
I
even
think
a response
about it
back.
Quite a lot, actually.
Do you know I had to take that off the internet? I'd say it's down now because I didn't. So what happened was a couple of years ago, I shot a video for Harry's Little League team. Edited it all together, put it on YouTube, but, you know, sort of made it unlisted and then sent it to the WhatsApp group. And about a day later, I went, oh, what happens if I click my account name on that YouTube video? Because that's what you would fucking do, wouldn't you, if you got a video like that? And there was me standing in there going, hello, I'm the German man. I don't like that game. And I thought, right, okay, this is all getting like unlisted now. No one should be able to see this stuff. So that's all gone now. But yeah, I did have one question about your time at Video Gamer.
Yeah.
Was there any point where you just went, like with the video stuff, did you go, all right, that's enough wrestling now? Was there any point where you went, okay, that's
not really.
That's enough.
We all know who The Rock is.
I think eventually it just became more and more wrestling, didn't it? To be fair, I mean, at the end, I was hitting people with trays and stuff.
Yeah, that was great. That stuff was amazing.
And that's like at that point, I thought this is peak. I'm never going to get better than this in my career. And I mean, it's a shame it ended, but I think we did a lot with that format, to be fair. Like,
oh yeah, massively. The amount of time, Dave, you and I speak, like, this felt, you know, we were huge 1UP fans and 1UP yours, and it really did. Yeah, it's peak for like UK 1UP, you know, all the personalities, all the great content, no matter what the subject was, it was great to watch. Yeah, we were obsessed with video game.
Well, this is it, because I know that Tom will feel awkward with me saying that I was actually a massive fan of your video gamer. I'm a massive fan of the VG247 podcast, which he knows because he's referenced a few times. Just have a go at me. Just randomly have a go at me here and there.
To be fair, just to clear, it's called the Best Games Ever Podcast. Best Games Ever podcast. You can find it on all good podcasts.
That's a bigger fuck up than me, Dave. You've
podcast platforms.
Yeah, our research is very good. But that time at Video Gamer, we used to send the videos to each other in WhatsApp, watch them over and over again. I used to phone into the podcast. Did you know that? I used to phone into the podcast as the cab driver.
Oh, really? Yeah. I think I might have realised. I don't know. I remember the cab driver. I do remember. Yeah.
And Chris Pratt had to get in touch with me because he thought I was being... He edited something that I said about Shigeru Miyamoto out because he thought it was offensive. And I had to explain that I didn't even make that connection. And I apologize. I felt awful the next day. And he was fine with it. But I thought, looking back on it now, I think he was just a little bit oversensitive. I think I just called him a little fella and that was it. And it had nothing to do with anything.
And this was back in the day when you could say that.
I'm just a little bit worried about. Right. Is that our history pretty much summed up, Tom? Because we've never actually met at an event.
No, I wasn't sure if you ever came to the live show we did or not, but probably
we
not.
Did. No, I didn't come to the live show. I don't know when that was, but
out of spite, no, I didn't come it? To.
Yeah, I was fuming about it, but yeah, we never crossed paths because we. It's just I know you asked if we were in Games Media. Sean's been in it a little bit.
I was going to say, because I've done a few bits for VG247.
I know Sean's done stuff because I've read it and I sort of commissioned it, so I know that is a thing.
Oh, did you rate it? Would Ted be honest? What was any feedback?
Did a Sea of Thieves thing, right?
Yeah, a couple
it's
of them. Yeah.
It's very good.
Oh, God, thank you.
It's all the stuff that he did on here. You really rated that?
Yeah, just really good.
No, it's all the things I wish I could say on here, but everyone go, oh, shut up. No one cares. Fucking Sea of Thieves again.
Yeah. Which is probably what Tom was shouting as he was reading your article, to be fair. But yeah, when Joypop was taken off and at the start of TCGS, we got invited to a few of those weird industry events. The ones that stick out to me were the Left 4 Dead 2 one in London Bridge, where they had people dressed up as zombies, like serving little burgers and stuff like that. But I never saw you at any of those.
I went to loads, but it was probably before. Like, I'm a big fan of the mini burger, the mini fish and chips, the mini Yorkshire pudding with a sausage stuck in it. I did go to an event once, and it was just a table. And literally just a table, and they just dumped chips and squid on it. It was just a table. It was just a mass of chips with battered squid. And I like it. It was nice. I'm not happy for all free food, but it just felt a little bit they hadn't done it very well, considering usually you get like the canapé type stuff. But
that's the chef just going like, right, what can I do that's easy and scales well?
Yeah. But towards the end, it all started changing, man. They changed the mini burgers for sushi, and I'm not a fan of sushi, and I don't want to be standing around talking to people whacking sushi in my mouth. I didn't like that period. I miss those days, but also they were also really really nerve-wracking, just meeting people that and just feeling completely out of place, because when you're in the industry or whatever. You obviously know people and you feel like you've been invited on credit, But, but when you're someone that does a shitty little bedroom podcast and you're standing in the middle of all these people and just thinking, oh, I could get another free drink here. So if I just stand there, maybe I could get another. You do have that imposter syndrome and you just assume that everyone's looking at you going, the fuck is that? Get him out of here. Which, you know, they probably were. I think that sums up our history. So are we ready to talk about video games?
Well, have we covered the feeling sad section?
I was about to say,
yeah,
like,
haven't even done that yet.
That isn't what this was about, really. What I was going to talk, because I wasn't sure about like the audience profile of this podcast. I assume it's old, right?
Yeah. No, we're hitting all the gens, baby.
I assume it's old. I work with young people, so my podcast at the moment is... It's quite young. It's quite funky, right? So I can't talk about old...
Funky? Sorry. You said funky.
Funky, yeah. Funky.
Okay, is that a word they use?
Yeah, all the time.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, Gen Z are loving
all
that.
The time. So I thought I'd bring up some old chat that would go down well with this audience, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
And like, I don't know if it's just me, right? But a few weeks ago, I've got like a collection of... It's not like a shelf of good stuff. It's just tat that's in the office room here. And I walked into the office... And I just saw on it, there's a Mega Drive copy of Sonic the Hedgehog, right? Inbox, it's not mint or anything, it's just an old copy of Sonic the Hedgehog on the Mega Drive. I looked at it, and I just suddenly felt really sad.
Yeah.
And then every time I look at like old games, like that era, like Mega Drive, early PlayStation, I'm like, I'm quite sad about this. And I don't know, I just wondered, as this is a group of old people... Like if other people feel this, because I've come to realise it's probably like a longing for those days. Because I don't like old games very much. I think back and I think most of these games were shit.
But, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, retro
but
sucks.
I played another sideways scrolling shooter themed after a film or whatever. Excellent. But I think I just look back and think I wish I was like 10 again, going to game stores for like 2 hours and choosing my games. Based on how good they looked in the three pictures on the back,
yes,
and what I read in Meme Machines, right? So I think it's just a kind of longing, sadness that I've developed. And every time I walk into the office now, I see my copy of Sonic the Hedgehog, and I just start the day on like a real sad note. I just wondered if that was a shared experience.
Well, I mean, there is an important question. I don't know if I should. How old are you, Tom?
I'm 41.
Okay, right, you're right in that. Yeah, I mean, we're all around that. And it is something we've been talking about recently, that sort of era of gaming. I think it is genuinely now with it starting to feel like, no, that is completely gone now.
Yeah.
Like, that's completely alien. The idea of going to buy a magazine and just looking at the fucking screenshots.
Oh,
right,
God, magazines.
To try and see, take in as much as you possibly could. And I mean, that era lasted for a long time. I mean, even when times... The last time I remember buying a magazine and feeling sick of excitement about opening it was reading a preview about Time Splitters 2. And that's not that, you know, long ago, is it? I bet it fucking is. I bet it scares me if I find out when Time Splitters 2 come out.
Yeah, that'll be
like, I think it's like 5 years. 20
years, man.
At least about 20, I reckon, yeah.
No, not 20.
Yeah.
2002, it's 22 years ago.
Oh, for fucking
fuck's sake. But it's everything. It's everything about that fucking era, man. Like the physical media going into shops, right? That's one thing. The magazines, the demo units.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember seeing a PlayStation demo unit for the first time?
Yeah,
and
man.
Everyone was crowding around mm-hmm. and playing Destruction Derby. It just, yeah, I know what you're saying. I still have that feeling though of looking at a game. Like we were in CEX today with the boys and they were pointing at all the old consoles and all the games, and I still, like, it still brings a smile to my face. So I haven't got to the point where it makes me sad. But it is something we've spoken about for the past few, the past few weeks, that is never coming back. Like the demo discs, they're never coming back. Going into a shop not knowing what you're buying.
Do you think that stuff is more painful now because it's becoming increasingly clear that like maybe the internet wasn't such a good idea?
There's that, and also the fact that I think it's more painful now because. I don't know. It just feels like we're in that cycle of old people get old and then moan about what the new thing is. and don't quite understand it and wish it was all old again. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I think it's the realization now that we're heading into our 40s and it's all starting to crumble. We were talking a few weeks ago about doing them. I don't know if you do this, Tom, the maths where you're like, right, where was I when my parents were 40? And what was I thinking of them at that time? Mm-hmm. And now I'm there. What does that mean for me, like my kids, and how much do they hate me now?
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Getting old is weird. Did anyone else do the thing when they were kids? This may have just been me from like a working class background. We used to buy games from Dixon's. Mm-hmm. You remember Dixon's, right?
Yeah.
Another retro classic. And my mum insisted that the person in Dixon's would get the game out and let me and my brother play it in Dixon's before we would buy it.
So every single time,
she would like, "They're not buying this until you've let them play it."
And we were like, "Until you can prove that this thing works."
Like it's a pirate VHS.
It's like we had to play it for a bit there. And then go, it's like tasting wine. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's a good bit of wine that. And then you take it home.
Yeah, you also spat on the floor of Dixon, so exactly the same.
No, we never had that, but I remember, I've said this tons of times. I remember having, was it N64 magazine gave away a tray with six slots in it where you could put six N64 games in. And I remember never filling it. I would always have to trade like three of them in to get one back, which then put me on two N64 games. Mm. And you'd sit there and go, what the fuck? Like, how can I not get six games? Like, this is insane. Yeah, they never used to go into shops and buy us games other than when my dad used to love like subscription shit when I was a kid. So like he, when we had Atari ST, he had a subscription to some, you know, you pay monthly and they'll send you random games. Mm. And that's how we got Graham Souness's Vector Soccer, which is probably the worst football game ever made. I've mentioned it a few times, but the sound effect when you score and it goes, it's a goal.
Yay.
And then the ball sort of like magically goes to the centre again. I don't know if Graham Souness ever played it, but if he did, I can't imagine he was too impressed. But it also special reserve.
Yeah.
Do you remember special reserve?
Like the back of magazines on the red logo. Where
I explained that to my son the other day, and that you had to, a time in the past, I bought things by sending a little leaflet in the post. And he was like, what? I've explained to him many things, like how Netflix didn't exist and black and white TVs, but this was the real thing. It's like you had to send a little leaflet in by post. I remember I filled one out for a Saturn, but I never sent it. That changed history, that did.
Sliding doors moment.
Yeah, but maybe that was it. There was millions of those slips that were never sent, and it would have been the most successful console of all time that people just used.
The fun trivia office. That's always good to mention when Special Reserve comes up is that Charlie Brooker used to do their adverts, used to do the cartoons for their ads.
Did he really? Yeah. I remember, because they had physical shops. I remember my dad driving me down to Egham, like making him drive to Egham, which was this little shop, Special Reserve, to buy GTA 2. And I was, I just remember, honestly,
okay. Yeah, I suppose it would have been.
GTA 2 was 90s? It must have been 90s.
I think it was early noughties, but yeah, close enough.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Nah, right.
As you know, I'm so sorry. It would have been 98, 99. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, shit. September. Yeah, 99.
Just for the Y2K bug.
The Y2K bug. Yeah, that's right. Thank God that didn't ruin GTA, because that would have been devastating. I don't know. I think it is genuinely a thing as you're heading towards this middle-aged stuff where you look back on that shit, how good it was when you were growing up around video games, just as they were breaking. Like, the other thing that really sticks in my mind is if you ever saw anyone playing a game, like on EastEnders or something, if they had a controller in their hand, you were like, video games have made it! Look, it's on telly, look!
Or someone in a movie is like, he's playing Mario holding a PlayStation controller, vice versa. Yeah.
Or straight away, be like, that's not a real game. And parents would be like, how do you know? And it's like, because I would know if it was real.
Yeah, I'm a fucking nerd, Mom.
When was the first time that you went, no, this is my thing, Tom? What was the console that went, no, actually, I know gaming's it now?
I don't know exactly. I mean, my first console was a Master System because my mum said, right, you can, well, my first, I had like a C64, I had a green screen Amstrad first. Then we had a C64. My first console was a Master System 2 with built in Alex Kidd.
Yeah, boy.
Yep.
But
cannon fodder on that bad boy.
Yeah, and but
I remember cannon fodder on Mega Drive.
Yeah, it was Mega Drive, wasn't it?
Was it Mega Drive?
Master System probably had everything. It was just like the shitter version. But I remember my mum said to me and my brother, like, you can get a Master System and like 8 games. You can get a Mega Drive with 1 game. We were like, let's get the Master System and get more games, right? I remember it felt like a good idea. We did sell it to a boy at our school a year later, I think, but. This isn't meant to be funny, right? It might come across funny. Sold it to him, got the cash, bought a Mega Drive, and then we found out later that he had epilepsy and could never play the Master System.
No. Oh, fuck. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. So it's a sad story, really, but I mean, no returns,
should
right?
Should put it in
so,
a sad corner.
Did you say, have you got a receipt, mate? Did you not? So for me, it was like, I had the Ataris and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But again, like 7 years after they come out, because my dad would wait, it'd always be like a gen or two behind because he couldn't afford the consoles when they come out, which is mad looking back on it now because they were selling for like 70 quid or something stupid. But then, yeah, so it was like Mega Drive and SNES and all that sort of stuff. But then it felt like I just sort of drifted away. And then the first time I played Mario 64 on the N64, oh, honestly, that was it. That was like, right, okay. No, I don't care about anything else now. Music is crap and films are overrated.
Yeah.
I just want to play Mario 64.
It was a big deal. I remember seeing the first pictures in like CVG. I think it was. I saw Mario 64 the first time and I was like, this can't be real. This can't be a thing.
What was your first job in the industry?
My first job was, well, video game was my first job in that I just made a job for myself and said, I'm doing this.
Really?
But I did... I was on a fan site called Mad Gamers, which was from that was from Edge Online Forum.
Really?
And then there's some people on there were like, do you want to write for a fan site called Mad Gamers? And I was on it. Keza McDonald was on it.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Mad Gamers. Yeah.
But this is what makes me laugh, like, because I've mentioned this before on the show, but I used to write for a website called Dark Zero, which, I mean, I think it's still going, but like, actually, there's shitloads of people who went through that site that are now like doing really well in the games industry in various different places. And yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because at the time you're just like, oh, well, we're just all sort of fucking around, like doing like some stupid hobby project. And then 10 years later, I mean, obviously I'm not in that circle.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's never really happened with us, has it? Our shitty little hobby never become anything really, did it? but we're still bloody trying. Yeah. 8 years in, we're still giving it a fucking good go. Yeah, shit. So how long was video... Were you at video game before then? How from
started at uni and then about, I don't know, 13, 14 years or something?
Wow. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember how I found your show. I can't remember.
I assume it was Rollmuck. I assume we found it through
Rollmuck. It must have been Rollmuck, yeah. Yeah. Funny, isn't it? Hey, looking back on things. We've not got, you know, getting old and that. Right, should we get to feedback on last week's show?
Yes, we absolutely should.
30 minutes in, I said to Tom, said I might need to look after my kid from about 11. And I said, well, yeah, we've been doing short shows recently. We're half an hour in, we're doing feedback to last week's show. So let's breeze through these, Matt Murray.
Yeah. Joe Pushbutton, dear TCGS, I have compiled a list of games that Sean is allowed to like.
Oh, good.
FIFA 97, FIFA 98, FIFA 2003, James Bond 007 on the Game Boy, and Hugo 2. Please do not veer from this list, or we all know he is not a true gamer. Keep up the good work. From Pushbutton Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
And I've also got another one actually here from Pete. Definitely not John Denton, although he does give pretty good game recommendations. Pot. That's Pete Pot for you. Sean, you are allowed to play anything that's not a deck builder, roguelike, roguelite, narrative experience, 4X strategy, pixel graphics, anime art style, RNG, puzzle-based, text-based, point-and-click, FMV, cozy, hex grid, farm simulator, resource manager, rhythm, emotional, or thought-provoking.
What does that leave? Call of Duty.
And Hugo 2 and James Bond 007 probably on the Game Boy.
We should explain for Tom's benefit. Someone wrote in last week saying, why do I, as in me, only play shit games? So I asked them to send in a list of what I'm allowed to like, and there it was, the list of things I'm not allowed to like, apparently.
But, right.
Well, see what we can do. I actually think today, this week's game does actually fit the bill, to be fair.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, no, I think we're good.
What, is it Hugo 2?
It is Hugo 2.
Not yet. Yeah.
Okay, Gary Franklin, snide Lego chat and new load. James would never allow it.
James would allow it. He's the dodgiest amongst us.
Yeah. Also, by that time, he's usually asleep, so he wouldn't even know it's happening.
I found that bit quite interesting, the Lego chat. Right, yeah. I was messaging
Why is that?
Dave. Are you undercover police?
I was messaging Dave on Twitter. I was like, what's this Lego stuff about?
Shit.
It's like little blocks you like connect together.
Do you want to see? Sorry, this will be rubbish for the podcast.
And he sent me a load of links. I've seen their affiliate tagged and stuff, so he's going to get some
massive bags of Lego like this.
Have you started any of yours yet?
Well, no, I'm going to stream them, aren't I?
Oh,
can't
that's
claim
right.
them
yeah,
as
yeah,
a business
yeah.
expense otherwise, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are you allowed to... Illegal goods as a business
not
expense.
Illegal goods. We've been through this.
We've been over this.
I know. I just love tweaking. So I just love that little tweak there. Okay, cool. Yeah. Snide Lego. That's where it's at.
We also, unfortunately, had some correspondence last week about how you do number two.
Yeah.
And we have some feedback. Yeah. On that. Mm-hmm. Gary Franklin, no, we've done that. Cammy T, I'm a stander and I've always been a stander. I will never stop standing and my ass is always clean. Grow up. and we'll carry on. This is from Bad Boy Gary Dutton, the UK's number one Gary, apparently. Dear TCGS, I've been silent on the sidelines for several weeks recently, but the last week's question section has compelled me to write in. My name is Gary Dutton and I'm a stand-up wiper. The initial wipe is seated, but subsequent ones are standing. Not bolt upright, like a beef eater, you understand. We're talking like a 45-degree bend for maximum purchase and access. Otherwise, how are you ensuring you're clean down there?
But that Gary's just making the point that we were. That, yeah, the whole we're saying you can't just stand all the way up.
Why would you do one sitting down and then one standing up?
Well, yeah,
it's
almost as if he realises you do actually need to do it sitting down, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very strange. I'm also a bit disturbed that this is two of my close friends have written in supporting standing. With, as far as I'm aware, I don't think they've discussed this amongst themselves.
Well, there's a whole separate group chat.
Clearly, that I'm not in.
Dedicated to wiping bot.
Yeah.
Gary continues. Also, I'm interviewing venerated notable journalist Simon Parkin this week for the Making Games This Fun podcast. So shall I ask him if he stands up to wipe?
That's 40 quid, Gary. That's 40 quid for the mention.
Shall I ask him?
I mean, he already owes us money for us sourcing his guests, doesn't he? Fuck
yeah. Yeah, Jesus. I mean, like, I'm fairly sure, Tom, you'll be on Gary's podcast next week.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
but then we've never had... Do you think Simon Parkin would be up for this?
Absolutely no way.
No, he won't.
Anyway, shall I ask him if he stands up to wipe, or should I just stick to discussing his upcoming book, yours, In Life and Hell, Life and Death even, Gareth Dutton,
ask
a.k.a. Gary
Dutton. Ask him if he'd run out of toilet paper and all he had was a copy of his new book.
Would he wipe his arse
with
it? And then you could do the follow-up question, because there's the relevant link, and just say, and if you would do it, standing up or sitting down.
There you go.
So then that's both a plug and a wipe.
I'm trying, so, how many pages is it? Because if it's not many pages, you just swipe it like a credit card, wouldn't you?
Oh, it's going to be loads of
pages. It's going to be a pretty thin
pages,
book.
Simon Parker.
How thin is that book? Do you can swipe it in your ass like a credit card?
I'm saying, if it's not, maybe it's A4, which gives you loads of room for the words.
Oh, yeah, you know, that famous book size, A4.
Simon Parker, like, I've got this new book out. It's an A4 paperback.
and it's so thin, it's like a credit card.
Yeah.
You can really spot the guys that don't read regularly, can't you? You can sniff them out quite easily.
An audiobook, man.
Especially with their smelly bots. The Insufferable Bore. Hi, lads. Small point about performance that Sean mentioned. Whether something can be 30 frames on the Series S, why can't it be 60 on the X? I'm not a technical sort. Well, I'll stop you there. and stuff. We'll move on. No, we'll carry on. I'm not technical sort, so this is coming from a place of only marginally less ignorance, but it depends on where the performance bottleneck lies. In essence, a game might be struggling to hit frame rate because of graphics GPU limited, or because of the engine simulation stuff CPU limited. If it's graphics / CPU, then there's loads of dials to move. You can lower the resolution, turn off ray tracing, etc., and get a performance bump. See Spider-Man 2. CPU, however, is more complicated, so if the bottleneck is there, there's less you can do. Hope this helps, and if someone actually knows computers and says it's all bollocks, then fair enough. I'm not Digital Foundry. I'm some blowjob with a sociology degree. Appreciate you all from Dave.
Maybe I was in two minds title. About including this, because yeah. I know some people find it a bit dry, but then as at the end, I was like, I've never heard someone describe themselves as a blowjob. As a derogatory way.
Can we call the episode Blowjob with a Sociology Degree?
Probably not.
Can we not?
I don't think
Tunes be livid.
But yeah, no, it's a good point, because I've heard this before when the games have famously, like the PC versions, like, oh, no one can get it to run properly. And it's because most PCs, people just go, oh, well, I'll just buy a shit computer and then strap a 900 quid graphics card to it and I'll be fine. Which for a lot of games does actually do the job, but sometimes not. So, yeah.
I remember when Matt said he was going to do that and then snapped all the pins as he was installing it, though. So slapping it in is not the greatest description.
That's the same computer. Oh, no, I did buy another. No, I did buy another one. Yeah, but basically, the PC is still fucked. Like, my motherboard can't even put the RAM in the right slots because of that.
This is a very odd podcast, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I mean, we've gone from arse wiping and then we had that very long, quite boring bit about the frame rate on Xbox games, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, last week, I was listening to last week's show, and I think it was about an hour of Dave talking about the price of the new Xbox model. And I was like, how long can we talk about this?
Yeah, but that's, if you didn't listen the week before, there was another 2 hours on that exact subject. That was just the tip of the iceberg, mate. Don't worry about that. Yeah, welcome to the Computer Game Show. It's what we're like over here. We're mad.
We are absolutely, you know.
I mean, we're
mad gamers, mate.
We're mad gamers in a way, yeah. We're not the original mad gamers, obviously, but we are. Certainly up there. Well, if you don't know much about our show, Tom, this next email, what are even weirder? Luke Summerhayes, on the tattoo chat, better than an Astrobot tattoo, surely matched to get the cook from Red Dead with his name in big letters. I struggle to imagine a tattoo that would get a rise out of James. Maybe I love Thatcher.
Oh, that is a good shout, actually. So next week, James is back and we're going to have the discussion. Tom, I don't know if you heard this on last week's show. I don't know if we mentioned it. There is a bet between two members of the show, James, who's not here, and Matt.
Hello.
And it's down to, you know, the new Star Wars game, Ubisoft game? What's it called? Outlaws.
Star Wars Outlaws, mm-hmm. Yeah. Get it right.
Matt has bet James that Star Wars Outlaws will have a bigger Metacritic score than Star Wars Jedi Survivors.
Right.
Or Survivor. So
what is the Metacritic that's got at the moment?
It's 85.
Tom, for those listening to the podcast, Tom just stifled a laugh there. It just caught it. And basically, the loser has to get a tattoo of the other one's choosing. And I don't know how we got here. I was chatting to Ian about this last night, and he said, I don't know how to feel about this bet. It doesn't seem right. And I went, I know, but I don't even really know how we got to this.
I'll tell you how we got here, because, well, it wasn't my idea for the tattoo. I think that was James's idea. But
it's James's, yeah.
The trouble was that on that Monday, I think I was feeling, you know, quite happy, confident, content, you know, clicking. I was having a great day.
Clicking,
man. It was mentioned, and I thought, fuck it, let's just say yes, and now we're here. And then, yeah, basically, I have to get real. So one of us have to get a real tattoo designed and chosen by the other one. I'm quite confident, actually, Tom. I'll be honest.
You're on. So you've got to get 85. Does 85 count? Does it have to be 86?
If it's 85, then the bet's off.
Yeah. Right.
So if Star Wars Outlaws gets an 85, then the bet's off. But if it gets an 86, then James gets a tattoo. But if it gets an 84, then Matt gets one.
What do you think? If you need to go one way or the other, just message me. And
See, this is...
Yes. Okay, here we go. I'm going to need a 10 from you, Tom.
Just to be clear, officially this is not happening, but as a funny bit on this podcast,
yeah,
yes, we'll change it to be however you want it to go. But yeah, I think it's going to be quite tight, that one, I reckon. It could be a high 80s, but I think it might be like an 82. my feeling.
That's not enough for me, Tom. I need more than that. Gonna need more than 82.
Yeah.
Tom literally has the power. I mean,
that's true. Yeah, you could massage.
You've made that point. We need to make very clear.
Yeah, this is a joke. This is a bit.
But you literally have the power to swerve this. It's insane.
Especially as editor in chief. Do whatever you want, can you?
Former Matt. Former.
Officially, I can access the CMS of all of our websites. So.
So what you're saying
if I wanted to go out with a bang at some point,
you work for Fujitsu.
I could just.
Where's this come from? You could access what
the website. I explain websites.
I know
right?
websites. Yeah,
websites. Yeah. You have to have a thing on the internet to get content onto them. That's called a CMS, right? Content management system.
The rest of us do know this, Tom. It's just Davis.
I don't know. Yeah, I fucking don't know this.
It's like you fill in forms. If you're you go to like a doctor's, you like fill in this form. Yeah. Like that, but on an internet.
Yeah. I don't really want that sort of information about my body out there on the internet, though, so I'll forget websites. Are not for me. Not for me. Is that it for the feedback this week, Matt?
That's it, yeah. If you want to leave more feedback, go to tcgs.co/dearTCGS.
Right, then let's get to news. Sean, what have you got for us? What's happened in the world of video games this week?
Did anyone watch the III showcase?
Not live.
What the fuck is the III?
So this is basically a bunch of indie developers have got together and have started doing their own sort of direct style showcase, which they've called the III, which I hope is tongue in cheek, because I feel a bit weird about it. Feels a bit
feels a bit Ouya to me.
A bit Ouya.
Is that bad?
Why is it a bit
just, you know, we remember when they went to E3 and stood outside and did their own thing in the car park and got
What Devolver do. Everyone thinks it's cool now.
Sorry.
It was just a very good indie showcase. So in among the stuff they showed off, so Slay the Spire 2 was announced. I think we didn't.
Was that known or was that a full?
I'm not sure.
Fully new.
I can't remember. I think it was sort of assumed they were, but apparently it's been massively delayed because they were making it in Unity, and after all, like everything kicked off, they've just gone, nah, scrap it, start again. Which I guess they've got the resources to do that because Slay the Spire is huge. At the very end. There was a very cool reveal of the Rogue Prince of Persia. Any of you seen this?
Watch the trailer. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's like an anime style trailer. But I went through and I think there's a preview on Eurogamer and saying it's very, very, very. Is it Dead Cells? Yeah, very Dead Cells. It's hard to know where Dead Cells ends and where this game begins. Yeah. But having said that,
yeah, it's by one of the.
It sounds like it's going to be a very, very good game.
Yeah, it's by one of the developers behind Dead Cells, and it's a like roguelite Prince of Persia where you are just sort of endlessly running through like randomly generated environments and doing parkour stuff and slashing baddies, and it looks really good. Like really pleasantly surprised by this.
Cool.
Other than that, there was, what else was there? 33 Immortals. I think we've seen this before. So this is from Thunder Lotus, who did Spiritfarer, which I had very mixed feelings on. But this is the co-op one where you just randomly put in a group of 33 people. And then obviously one
bit like school.
I just think it'd be really cool to see how that plays out, because obviously you're going to get whittled down as you go, and I don't know. I just think it's potentially really interesting. I assume if you finish the game, you automatically best mates with everyone you get to the end with.
Yeah, you have to meet up in a village hall.
Yes.
Yeah, I think what it does is it's got great integration with WhatsApp, and it automatically creates a group straight after the game's over.
Yeah, that you can't get out.
Yeah, you can. You have to say it for basically an entire year, 12 months, and you go meet up once a month. But I think it sounds great actually for me.
There was a trailer, so. Vampire Survivors is getting Contra DLC pack, which I've not seen anyone else, but I mean, maybe this is so obvious no one's felt the need to point it out. But obviously, Contra is a Konami property, as is Castlevania. And I just love the idea of Vampire Survivors devs being like on the phone to Konami, like, yeah, so we want to do like a crossover. And they're like, oh, yeah, you want to do Castlevania? No. We want to do country. We want the guys with the guns and, you know, the sci-fi one. Yeah, very amused by this.
It's I can't. My mate can't stop talking about Brotato, which I think is another one.
That is like, it's a similar game.
It's the same thing, right? Yeah. So it's I don't know. I'm assuming Vampire Survivors is still the main one.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not liked one like that. That's the best one for me by a long way.
It's really good, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know if I go back to it though. I got to the point where it felt like it come to a natural end and then stopped.
There's loads of extra shit in it now. If you're bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Name one, Sean.
Name one extra shit.
DLC name one bit of shit.
Packs that I've not played yet.
Too bad. He doesn't know.
There was a bit more footage of Hyperlight Breaker, which is still a.
Yeah, previews haven't been great, have they?
No. And I'm still. Yeah, it's a weird one because obviously I adored Hyperlight Drifter. Enjoyed what I played of. Shit, what's it called? Fuck.
There's a lot of shit about on this pod.
The second... Oh, my God, I completely forgot what it was called. That's embarrassing.
Sonic 2?
Yeah, Sonic 2. And Hyperlight Breaker is very different from Drifter, and it's hard to tell for us. Solar Ash in the chat. Thank you, Phil. Hyperlight Breaker is very different. It's like going to be like a co-op 3D randomly generated brawler. And, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to tell. As you say, the previews haven't been like stellar. But I've got faith. I'm keen. Yeah.
Cool.
What the car? I mean, I'm up
it wasn't
for...
very good. I played that.
Yeah,
I didn't rate it that much.
There's this weird thing. I don't know if you've noticed. The goal for me,
but way
there's this weird trend of games coming out for other consoles and people acting like they're new when they've been on Apple Arcade for about 3 years and no one paid attention.
That was a dig at Matt Murray.
I've seen this for a dig at Matt Murray.
Because there's
I don't know if you noticed, but there's a trend of people wearing hats underneath headphones, and it makes me fucking sick.
Sean, you absolute fucking piece of...
No, I had this with a friend the other day, and the friend was like, oh, there's a new Reigns game coming out. It actually looks pretty cool. What? Go on.
Matt just dropped the C bomb and forgot to beat that bit again. He's the worst person on that button.
So yeah, a friend of mine was like, oh, there's a new Reigns game, it looks really good. And I was like, yeah, no, it's out for like 4 years and I didn't like it.
All right, get it.
I'm talking about someone else. What?
He's dead.
Who I love very much. So it's fine.
On the car, though, I was a bit disappointed. Did you play it?
Played a bit of it. I mean, Isaac was screaming, laughing at it, but I was... You know,
oh, is he?
Four at the time, so
yeah, it's no what the golf. And I noticed that Chia is coming
to Switch. You're buying it again, so, Dave?
This is the biggest announcement of the whole show.
It's not a good game.
It's great how, like, you know, there are some games, you know, the announcement is going to be it's coming to Switch because they're showing footage that's clearly in 480p, and
you're just like, well, there's only one reason
you'd do this,
It didn't look great in. On a good console.
No. So, yeah, I mean, the BAFTA winning Chia. Great game. I think more people should play it. Well done.
Well, should we talk about the BAFTAs?
I was going to say, speaking of, that's smooth, wasn't it?
Are we talking about the BAFTAs?
I mean,
yeah, that's next.
That's the conversation,
David. How they treated us.
We're part of the conversation, David.
Have we talked about that on the show?
No,
we have mentioned it.
Should we get into it? Because it's not, it's quite funny.
What, Matt's scared because he thinks this shuts us out from BAFTA,
I think it was a genuine misunderstanding.
I was this close to winning a BAFTA, and I don't really want it to ruin my chances.
To stop, Tommy, you're not on the judges panel or anything, are you?
No, I was quite miffed. No one's ever asked me.
Really? Well, we got asked last year.
We got asked something.
And it turns out we got this right. Okay, let me just explain. We got this email from the PR company to look after BAFTA saying, hello, yeah, TCGS, we love the show. We love your passion for games, you know, all this sort of stuff.
And to be clear, we can usually tell them from a mile off if this stuff is totally copied and pasted. Like, no, they've never fucking listened.
Yes.
This
yes,
genuinely
yes.
seemed... We were hooked.
Yeah, the email sagged off James. It was legit.
And they said, we'd love you to be part of the BAFTA conversation this year. If you're interested, let us know and we'll come back with more information. So I sort of went, fucking hell, look at this. Look, what's going on here?
And to be clear, we didn't have any specific dreams about what this meant. But obviously part of us was like, oh shit, like, do they want us as judges or something, or I don't know, like what?
I'd order a limo. Instant. I saw emails like, bang, stretch hammer, go.
So what did we reply with? I can't remember.
We just said, yeah, we're very interested, you know, yeah, friends are getting in touch.
Tell
you know,
us more, we'd love to help, yeah, tell us what we can do, yeah.
And then we're like, we'll tell you more later.
And we're like, what the fuck's going on? You've emailed us.
And then they finally emailed us and just went, we just want you to read this press release on your podcast.
Yeah, like, yeah, we're announcing that this is when the nominations are announced. Can you mention it on your show, please? I was like, oh.
And we just went, nah. Nah. Fuck. No, we're not going to do that. Like, it was so weird that it kind of really, like, it was amazing seeing, you know, Tamor, past guests, Tamor, Ellie, and Inel on like, giving out awards and shit. Yeah, it was amazing. And we, you know, we love them, and, you know, it was great to see them there. But there was part of me just going, oh, yeah, that was fucking weird when they emailed us and part of the conversation and then said, can you read our press release? That was fucking weird, wasn't it?
We just weren't part of the conversation because we didn't need that, press release. Kind
of, well, we're definitely not part of the conversation anymore, are we? If BAFTA ever hear this, they won't. But if they ever hear this, that's it. That's ties cut.
Should we talk about what I proposed for the BAFTAs next year?
What was
Well, actually, it's such a good idea. We should probably save that.
So basically,
what is it?
So I said in the WhatsApp group, like, next year, should we all go to the BAFTAs? But obviously, we can't actually get in because we're not invited. But we'll all dress up to the nines and then just hang out just outside the bit and then just be like, hey, I know, how's it going? Hey, Ellie's it. Like, just call the people we know and just try and get an interview out of them. And then
get an interview and then try and follow him like really close behind.
And then once it all starts, we can just continue hanging around outside where there's nothing happening and just being like, oh, what do you think they're all doing in there now? Do you reckon it's nice?
Yeah, well, we're not food like. No, what we can
badge,
do is.
Little badge that says, I'm part of the conversation.
We can have microphones which connect to nothing in our bag with an IGN kind of thing on the mic and say, hey,
that'd be great. That'd be good.
Something we legitimately did once.
And then we can use that as a pitch.
And I think we said we were from IGN, didn't we, Dave?
We did, Matt. We did say we were
in
from IGN.
In the Q3 rejects, circa 2008.
Have you ever been, Tom? Have you ever been to the BAFTAs. Gaming BAFTAs?
No. It's going to sound a bit bad considering what my job is and stuff, but I don't get excited about the BAFTAs or any awards, really.
Mm.
I never really we had the Games Media Awards and stuff years ago, and I was like, yeah. It was nice to win something now and again.
I remember I remember Gav Murphy talking about the Games Media Awards, and he's like, it means more to my nan than it does to anyone. Like, everyone who's in the industry is a bit like, yeah, it's just a bit of fun, I suppose.
What did his nan win?
Well, to be fair, he used to do that show with her, didn't he? Which is good.
Good point.
Oh shit! Yeah, we only got invited to that when it was, what was it called, after the GMA?
Games Media Brit List.
Games Media Brit List, and we turned up in suits for nothing, only for the BBC to win it.
Yeah,
come on, the fucking BBC.
Yeah,
have you heard our shit? It's top. It's
can't
top.
Believe
quality.
The BBC beat us. Anyway,
Good
the actual
times.
BAFTAs, let's hear the conversation.
Yeah, let's be part of the conversation.
Hashtag
I'll
ad.
Be part of the conversation.
I think it was just nice, like, especially some of the criticisms we've seen leveled at fucking Keeley's show. And then this was just pure, like, yeah, it's just devs coming up on stage and being celebrated. And there's like, there was an acknowledgement from the hosts about, you know, current shitty situation with layoffs, etc. It was just quite classy what I've seen of it. And Chia got a BAFTA, Dave. Game Beyond Entertainment.
Great game.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Maybe reassess. Your thoughts
it's
on the game
not
and play
a good
properly.
Game. It is not a good video
well,
game.
It's a BAFTA
and also,
winner, so...
it didn't get a proper BAFTA, did it?
It got a BAFTA.
Game Beyond Entertainment.
That's a BAFTA.
That is a
BAFTA.
What does that mean? Game Beyond Entertainment.
How many BAFTAs you won?
Four. Just repeating a joke we did on WhatsApp.
Yeah, no, but now the public can hear it.
But Game Beyond Entertainment, it's like, so it's coming to the end of the season for my little league team. and you give awards out, and there are awards like top goal scorer or best goal or, you know, best most assists, you know, that sort of thing. And and then you get down, but all the kids have got to have awards. So it's just like, smartest shirt. Like, what was the best tackle? Like, I don't know what was sort
goal
of
beyond
running
entertainment.
Out of ideas for I can't. I'm really struggling to come up with ideas for awards for these kids. Like the shit ones. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. It's a joke.
You like
they're all
brilliant.
Something
like that. That'd be good.
Yeah, it's like the Smash Hit Awards, like 1996. I'm sure Mark Owen will win that again.
Most likely to run the country. I don't know. That fills up with what some of these do. Anyway,
congrats to all the BAFTA winners.
People. They did. They did win lots, didn't they? Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Yep.
That one.
Got best
family.
Multiplayer.
Best multiplayer.
The worst
yeah.
thing about it.
Oh, it's dreadful. it's dreadful.
This,
as a multiplayer
this is the problem
game,
with commenting on awards, isn't it? Like, guess what? We disagree with some of them. We agree with others.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
but that's just factually wrong.
That
though.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, Call of Duty is raging right now. Or any game is raging. Like, how does that win best multiplayer?
That's I think also we mentioned gaming with kids and stuff. That has a big thing to I guarantee the people that voted on that hadn't been gaming with their full family because Super Mario Bros. Wonder would not fucking win that award if they had. I remember we tried it and my 5-year-old went, this is rubbish. Like my 5-year-old said that.
Like, so what you're saying is this is rubbish. So they're not a BAFTA judge is what you're saying now.
Perhaps.
No, but they fucking should be. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they bloody should be.
Cyberpunk got Evolving Games Award.
What?
Because it's evolved once.
Yeah, they've had patches.
Now it's evolved. Oh, okay.
Now it's finished evolving. And it's fine.
Right,
it's perfect now.
Is this you're only bringing that up because
because
it's still nominated it for Game of the Year last year.
2024, never mind 3. It's still getting awards.
Would you have had that, Tom? Would you have had a nomination for Game of the Year last year for Cyberpunk?
I think we did nominate that possibly.
There you
go. Okay,
there you right, go. Most the people person. Did. Most people
embarrassing.
Did.
That whole award about evolving game, whatever, I find a bit like games that are just fixing themselves.
Yeah,
doesn't really count, I don't think. But I think it does. Like you say, something like No Man's Sky, which is actually like my son is obsessed with this game. He's 10 and he's put like 100 hours into it. I look at it, I'm like, it's far too complicated. You look at the menu screen and like. It's just like there's just boxes all over the place with numbers on them. I don't have the time. But that game legitimately has been updated like a lot over like 8 years,
it's
maybe.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because I think
that
they
just
did
win
like
it every year from my point
of like
view.
Getting it where it was supposed to be. And everyone's kind of like, all right, that's probably it now. Or they'll start charging for the DLC or whatever. And yeah, and they've just carried on, just kept adding more and more stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. Every time Sean starts out tweeting emojis, like, Sean, have a rest or something. This is mad. So it's coming. Another massive update's coming. Yeah. Like, the stuff I've done is ridiculous.
So, best game then, which is the one anyone cares about, Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah,
my
well,
major
it got a bunch
surprise.
Of awards.
Baldur's Gate.
I've not played it.
I should probably finish it. To be honest,
it's just not my type of game, but like I could see why everyone loved it so much.
Yeah.
Technical achievement, I was kind of surprised. I suppose The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom won it, and to get it running on that machine, yeah, maybe I can see that, you know. but it still had problems here and there. I'm surprised it wasn't solid, was it?
I'm glad Adam Wake won. It won artistic achievement and audio. Yeah, it excels at both of them. So I'm glad it picked up some awards.
And Viewfinder 1-2, which I'm really happy with. Viewfinder was a really underrated game last year. Such a good experience. Like, I loved it. So I'm glad that got the nod.
So
you're right.
It won Best British Game. Great. It also won New Intellectual Property. I'm like,
I thought that was weird.
Yeah, when I think IP, I don't think like that feels like a very much one and done great puzzle game. I don't think it's a franchise.
No one's playing Viewfinder. Going, this is going to be like the new MCU. This,
yeah, like the Viewfinder movie is coming. All the Viewfinder characters will be in Fortnite this time next year.
All the different photos.
Yeah, all them.
But You're right. Awards are bollocks, aren't they? They're really good for the people that win them, and but ultimately they're fucking nonsense. Especially the Independent Game Awards, the Independent Podcast Awards,
especially them.
Yeah, you say that, and it sounds like you're having a go at the idea of the whole thing. It's like, no, I'm absolutely fine with a load of talented people having a party and because they deserve it. But yeah, the actual winners, you're like, yeah, all right. Whatever.
All right. That was Sean's Fork Corner.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a regular little section. It's like the little cutouts in the magazines, just with Sean's little comment at the bottom at the end of it. So, sort of just as a full stop.
I don't think people would be up for that.
Mate, I'd fucking be up for it. I'm not taking a piss. I'd love that. Yeah. Yeah, we could edit them together at the end of the year. Just put them all as one string of Sean Bell consciousness. Yeah, but
remember we'll put like a drum and bass backing track on it.
Yeah, remember when you used to do Sean's question?
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
That didn't go.
I used to do a bit on the old podcast. That was just, it's called the Tom Ory Minute.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if anyone remembers that far back. And it was like, it was about like, they just like said, because they bullied me quite a lot on the podcast before I was like a podcast pro. And they'd just say, right, Tom, just talk for a minute. And I just have to just, it was silence apart from me saying something about what had been going on in my life. And they'd always find it hilarious that I just said what I've been doing. And that was it. I had a little jingle and everything.
Well, is there a super, there needs to be a supercut on YouTube. Yeah, are those episodes still available somewhere?
I have no, hopefully not, to be honest. Who knows what was in them.
yeah. We all have those fears, don't we? If someone digs up an episode of a podcast that we did 12 years ago, it's, Yeah, last week was a bad one. Should we go to the next news story, Sean?
So, you know how it's April?
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, you know, a third through the year. Sega have just decided that it's the year of Shadow the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which one was he?
Well, apparently this is because... So we're getting Sonic Cross Shadow Generations. I'm not even sure what that is. We need James here. He'll know. He bloody loves the Sonic.
Yeah, he loves that shit.
And he's going to be in the Sonic Hedgehog 3 film. I don't know that was out this year. I thought that was next year.
I'll watch it.
Ben in the chat said apparently Keanu Reeves is voicing him. I assume that's not a wind-up. That's incredible if that's true.
Is it, though? One of the worst actors. I don't understand why. He seems like a lovely fella. One of the worst actors
I've ever seen.
That is fair. That's fair. But every film I've seen him in, he's destroyed. and that fucking cyberpunk game where he turns up and goes, gotta get a gun. Gotta go down there. And I'm like, fucking hell, mate. Put some effort in. Like, holy shit.
That's sorry just what he does. I think being cast as Shadow the Hedgehog is perfect for him.
Okay,
I think that'll work.
We'll see. It's going to irritate the fuck out of me in the cinema because I'm just going to be like, there's Bill or Ted or whatever one he wants.
Or Neo.
Neo.
Shadow's going to say guns.
Per Eurogamer, apparently the Year of Shadow will also include bonuses in mobile games, Lego sets, and additions to the Sonic Symphony World Tour.
Right. Cool. Okay.
Year of Shadow. So we've been in the Year of Shadow for over 3 months already.
The weather has been shit, so this makes a lot of sense
it's
now.
It's true.
God, that was awful, Matt. Fucking hell.
Dark and kind of like
yeah, I
gray.
Couldn't give a shit about this character. I couldn't give a shit about Sonic anymore. I'm done with any of this.
Well, I thought that Sega with you there, Dave, because I just announced the Year of Shadow the Hedgehog in April.
Okay.
So good. They also can't be fucked.
Okay.
I mean, this next story I put in just to talk about the tattoo stuff, really. But yes, so Star Wars Outlaws has been announced. It's coming out in August 30th.
Brilliant. Looking forward to it.
And there was a trailer. I thought the trailer was okay. Everyone's kicking the shit out of it, apparently.
No, I thought the trailer was... Right, first of all, there was so much fan service in that trailer that it made me feel a little bit sick.
Yeah,
I'm in the Jabba the Hutt bit.
Well, we'll get on to that.
What? What do you mean?
We'll come, that's the next story.
Okay. Oh, holy shit. Okay. okay, right, but we'll get to that. But there was, like, it was... They might as well have just gone, oh, hey, how are you doing today? I'm doing fine. Oh, have you heard of Obi-Wan Kenobi and then like looking at the fucking screen and it's like, I get it, it's Star Wars, I get it, you're in Star Wars.
It is very Star Wars.
Every time it looked in game, the animation looked a bit fucking shit.
No, I think it looked great.
There's a bit where the character jumps up and rolls down and I went, I thought, holy, this looks PS2 level animation. What the hell's going on here?
For me, I look like a PS5. I think it looks really good.
Nailed on 86 on Metacritic, I reckon. I thought it looked fine. But yeah, the stink around it is that apparently the Jabba the Hutt mission is specifically tied to the premium edition, which will set you back $110.
I think it's a great move. Honestly, I think, you know, well done to devs. I think they deserve it. And, you know, looks like great content. I'm looking forward to it. So I think, you know, if anything, it's too cheap. So they should probably, 110 quid. Like,
and we should tell you, and this is part of it. So it's not just
110 quid. Do you see on Hot UK deals? Because that is a bargain for me. That is ridiculous.
I mean, Matt will just say this is further value for money, but this is part of a season pass. There is a fucking season pass.
Good.
With this single player game. That feels Holy weird. Shit.
Nah, because that was a great, steady lot of content, Sean. Like, it's really going to, you know, improve the story, improve the game. I think, again, all great. Really excited for the team and for the game in coming future.
I don't want to come across like a Ubisoft apologist, but I feel like it's got a bit blown up, this, out of, like, it's nothing really, is it?
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, it's just like, all games have DLC, right, packaged as a, in even, like, Nintendo games these days have, like, expansion passes, what they're called, right? This is just part of that. You just get it day one, right? And it's just part of that. It's just marketing to get you to buy the expensive one that has the expansion pass.
But then by having it day one, does that not cross that line? You're making it anyway. Well, no,
but they've been doing it. That shit's been happened before. I think what people
that
might
shit
be
has been happened
about
before.
That shit has been happened.
That's the episode so title. Is that Jabba the Hutt is like a really big character, and it's a really big. But I'm assuming there's Jabba the Hutt things in the game anyway, and it's just a little add-on to a
possibly
mission.
It's a day one exclusive mission with Jabba called Jabba's Gambit.
With Jabba, where you go around with Jabba for
you
a
ride
bit
on his back and he like slithers around. I'll pay money for that.
Is this podcast, do you like Star Wars or not on here?
Yeah, I think we all do for the most part,
because I think that's the bit I'm struggling with, is that people are so upset about is that Star Wars is shit, right?
Well,
and then, yeah,
and then so then they're upset you can't do a mission for Jabba, who is also shit. Like, if you've watched those films, he is shit in those films, right? Especially in the one where they redid it with CGI, and it's like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I was watching it with my son like a couple of years ago, and I was like, I can't believe look that bad.
Where he goes up, where they make him move up as they go over his tail, is the best thing I've ever seen in a film, I think.
So I just can't get behind this at all.
Dave, have you seen the original Jabba?
Yeah. So when we were doing Star Calls, which is, Tom,
I've saw you tweeting about it once.
Yeah, he knows all about it.
I'm surprised he didn't put me on mute at that point. When we were doing that, one of the things we did was go back and watch that original scene with the original Jabba, and right. I would love to see like that scene, you know, the scene from the third one or whatever it was. Well, actually, it's episode 6 or whatever it's called. the third one. I'd love to see that scene with the old school Jabba in it. like how that whole thing changes. Same size cave, but just him on a throne.
And just him getting you know, strangled to death. just some guy strangled. But yeah, Tom, I know what you mean, because obviously I was, a few weeks ago, I was defending the way the Dragon's Dogma 2 microtransactions have been massively blown out of proportion by some people. Was very weird. I know what you mean.
I just feel like it's like people are angry about everything. There's always something people are angry about with stuff. But I mean, if it's just, I think just accept that it was never part of the game. If you want it, it's that Ubisoft actually are quite good for DLC usually. I imagine you'll get a decent chunk of stuff. I know we don't know what it's going to be like, and they're asking you to pay. But also, you don't have to buy it day one, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of the pass, whatever it is. So just look at it on YouTube. If you like it, buy it then.
Mm. I think that's Tom Ori saying that. So,
yeah, finally.
take that advice and run with it.
Yeah, I know. I thought this game looked great anyway, and I thought it was a good trailer. I mean, it got me pumped. I mean, that's kind of what I took the bet on, because I thought the game looked good, and it still remains looking good.
Hold on, you took the bet on about a year ago, Matt. What?
No, I took the bet on when there was the concept of the game.
It was a great concept. It was a great logo. And
whatever it was at the time, I was like, I think it's a great game.
You bet your skin on concept skin. Art.
It wasn't on concept art. There must be something else, surely. Did I make a bet on my skin because of concept art?
Mm. Okay, next news story.
The next and final news story is that shitloads of people are playing Fallout because of the telly show. Apparently player counts have more than doubled for like basically every game in the series on Steam and stuff. I mean, yeah, I just thought this was a nice excuse to just briefly talk about the Fallout TV show. Have we all
one episode
it?
In?
Yeah, yeah, same here.
I fucking loved it. I loved that first episode. Like, I adored it. Yeah. I thought it was proper good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the characters. I liked how violent it was. I liked, it was right up my street. Mm-hmm.
Like I've said before, I don't really appreciate that Fallout is just Elder Scrolls sci-fi now.
What's that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's basically an Elder Scrolls game now as opposed to the original two games. Terribly, by the way. I'm not saying you should play the originals or that, like,
why don't you appreciate
now,
but... that? What's your beef with that?
I just don't really like Elder Scrolls, do I?
Oh, don't you? I thought you loved Elder Scrolls. Oh, okay. Right, okay, then that makes sense.
Which, again, it's, you know, I'm not one of these people who's like, no, fuck Bethesda, they've ruined it. I'm a Fallout fan, but not so much the more recent stuff. Anyway, yeah, there's shitloads of stuff in this that just even as a fan of the older games, I don't know, it gets the whole thing of Fallout. It's not just, oh, well, we played Fallout 3 for 10 minutes and we, you know, like there's clearly like a genuine love for the series as a whole in there. It's great.
Yeah, and as I said, I was surprised by how horrifically violent it is, and like it is really gory, really violent. And then I remember,
but in a fun way,
the majority of that game is blowing people's heads off in slow motion. So that I can't really of course they've nailed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two complaints. The first being, I never want to fucking go to watch an episode and see it's 76 minutes long. That first episode is 76 minutes.
Was that a funny, do you think that's a funny reference to Fallout 76?
Possibly, but
I mean, not surely, absolutely, definitely.
Oh, then episode 2 is 4 minutes long. That must be a...
It just made me really fucking angry. I just don't do... Like, oh my god.
And especially
god,
because
like,
that first episode arguably does more than it needs to, right? Like...
Yes.
Yeah, there's a character that probably doesn't need to introduce in episode 1,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, could have done it on the
next
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just shuffle it over. Just put some credits in the middle of it and chop it up.
Yeah.
Instead of doing 9 episodes of an hour long each, do 18 episodes of half an hour each. Much better. Much prefer that.
Well, no, something later, like 4 or 6 minutes. So, yeah, it's just kind of like, it's all chopping, changing.
Dave,
yeah,
have you heard of something? The pause button.
Something, the what? The pause button. Yeah, but then that makes it even longer.
But like, I don't get, people argue about this all the time on the internet about stuff's too long, right? Just stop it. Stop it when you've had enough and watch it the next day.
Yeah, but,
no,
then,
but you could argue that 76 minutes of television has been, you know, orchestrated, composed to work as a whole thing.
I watch a lot of
stop,
films
right?
these days over 2 or 3 days because we're out of time. And I'm like, it's all right. I managed to watch films, and I don't feel like I've got a much inferior experience because I've watched them over a few days. I'm going to watch Oppenheimer soon. It'll probably take me a week to watch that. But I'm not going to just stop it every time I start from the beginning. I'm going to pause it, and the next day I'll watch a bit more until I finish the whole thing.
Yeah, but isn't there part of you that's kind of like, who's that again? Because that's why I'm not terrible at that shit.
Back in the past, we were talking about being old earlier, but you used to go a week between things, right? You used to have a thing, and then you'd watch it, and then the next week.
But again, though, those were written as discrete half-hour segments to be watched separately.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Not buying it.
I'm not, do you know what I mean? Like, whatever, like, watch films wherever you want. I'm not saying you shouldn't do
cheers.
That. I just, yeah, no,
cheers, mate.
You're a David Lynch fan, aren't you?
You, me?
Yeah.
No.
Aren't you?
No.
Oh, you're not? I thought
you were. Do you know, my David Lynch knowledge is piss poor.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
He did the Scary Movie.
Oh, okay. Well, I love him then.
It's a very funny film. Yeah, that TV show is very, very good though. Like, that was the other thing. Joe obviously hasn't played any of the games, mm-hmm. and I was watching with her, and I had to just keep pausing it. Right, the Brotherhood is still they're very complicated. See,
I was doing so well at not being that guy. Up until the bit where she injects herself with a stim pack, and it was like, "Oh,
that's
what's
what
that? What's
that's
that?"
What I said.
Like, right.
That's what I said. I said, "That's a stim pack. Just don't worry about it."
Yeah, like, and I was like, "And it literally looks exactly the same as the game I played when I was 17." That's just
yeah. No, I think you do need to do that a little bit because it doesn't really explain the Brotherhood is still well enough. All of a sudden,
you should have rang
outside.
Me in, Dave, because I watch it and also haven't played the games. And you know, you should just ring me and say, "Oh, by the way, I mean, I knew the stim pack thing."
Yeah, I know, but you don't understand anything. So it's like that's the other end of the. You could be biggest fan, and you'd be going, "What's that injection thing she's using?" You go, "It's in the game, Matt."
It was always bomb shit.
Why doesn't it just stop and bring up game facts every now and then, Matt? Because that's not how most people play these things. Right, is that it for the news?
That is it for the news.
Okay, let's get to what you've been playing. And there is one particular game that we've all played, actually, that come out on Game Pass this week. It's a first-person puzzle game called Botany Manor. Which, now, did this come out on PC?
Botany Manor.
Botany Manor.
Botany Manor.
Botany Manor. Botany Manor. Did this come out on PC a while back, or did this launch?
No, this is brand new. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, who wants to start talking about this? Because good luck explaining it without sounding like a fucking wanker. How the fuck do you describe this game without sounding like a bell end?
It's so you play as.
Here we go. Here we go. Everyone's
I'll dive on that grenade all day long. So you play as a woman who is a botanist, and she's presumably inherited or has always lived in this huge mansion. And she's been away for a bit, and she's come back, and basically, you sort of. It implies that she's been given a book deal, right? About. Like rare flowers, and in order to do it, she's got to grow them all first, right? In order to study them and learn about them, and basically that's what the game is. It's like finding out about these different plants, getting the seeds, and then working out what it is they need to grow. Which, when I heard that description of it, I was like, okay, well, I'm not really interested in botany, to be honest, but it's not really about that. It's like the very first one, there's like some stuff, you got to make this room like the right temperature for it and stuff, and you're like, okay. But then beyond that, it's all kind of silly stuff, right? Like they're
not real plants, are they? They're fake plants. There's all these ones grow when the lightning strikes.
Yeah, you know, and it's basically sort of it's you're going through these different seeds, trying to grow these plants, and walking around this like mansion and the sort of surrounding gardens, and picking up on like environmental clues or, you know, bits of text or whatever that will tip you off on how to grow the plants. I thought this was wonderful. I really enjoyed this, and I wasn't totally expecting it. I mean, it definitely tickles that escape room itch for me, in that it's, you know, sort of environmental puzzles.
Massively escape room. Like in one room there's a symbol, and in another room there's a book with the symbol, loads of symbols in it that have numbers next to them, and then there's another chart on a wall or something. Yeah, there's all that shit.
But it's never like oh shit, I need to write this down, sort of territory, is it? It's pretty straightforward for the most part.
Not quite, but I also really liked the game. But what I didn't like was,
hold on, did you finish it, Sean?
Yeah, finished it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. How far in are you, Matt?
I finished it. Yeah, it's only like 4 hours or so, 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, right, okay.
You finished it, have you, David?
No. I literally only started playing this the other day. So I'm on like the third thing with the doors open to the windmill and all that. Like,
right,
the
tunnel. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like writing down, I mean, like, no, although, you know, it gets more complex towards the end, but I found like the inventory system pretty rubbish. Like, you find there's clues around the place, And if you, because so as well as trying to find, you know, find out what you need to grow the plants, you have a bunch of clues, loads of clues you can pick up. And then in each chapter, there might be multiple plants, say like 2-3 plants. And you have loads of clues. And what you can do is you can go to each page of the book and you can say, I think these 5 clues link with this plant. Mm-hmm. But and you can kind of assign them clues to that plant. But when you get all, say, like 5 clues assigned and they're correct, you can't look at the clues again.
Well, so we can do because you, like, you can if you go back to them.
Yeah, yeah. As I say, you have to physically go back to where the clues are. So you
do
look
not have
where
to do
are
that anyway. I didn't think there was any way to view the clues
you
do. From the
you
menu.
Can't view the clues.
No, you can't. And so it's just kind of like towards the end, I was like getting a little bit annoyed. Okay, I was literally taking pictures, going to each like the clues, the locations, taking pictures on my phone, or like taking those screenshots in the Xbox and flicking through them. Mm. I just think like the inventory stuff is kind of annoying. It wasn't very intuitive at all.
Yeah, like I didn't have to write stuff down, but certainly, yeah, I don't see there any good reason for it not letting you just view the clues you've already found without having to go and physically find them again.
I thought that was really annoying because I actually really, really enjoyed the game, but that really kind of took me out of it. You know, when it says, okay, I've already selected those 5 clues and I've already assigned them to the plant. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to, you know, go back now, take a picture. I mean, maybe it's just me, maybe I'll, you know, but whatever. I just thought the adventure stuff kind of got in the way a bit, but still thought it was really, really fun. I thought the environmental puzzles were really, really good. I thought the complexity ramped up nicely. Like, the last few you do are really, really good. I would actually love to see a sequel or more to this game where the complexity is, yeah, at the end of the game or a bit more, because I think they could do really, really cool, really, really cool stuff.
I think the other thing that really works for it is it's got very lucky about the timing of the release, because for anyone listening to this not in the UK, we've had a very poor start to spring, haven't we? It's been pissing down the whole time. Now, I have a complicated relationship with summer and direct sunlight, but like playing this, I was like, fuck, I'm ready for summer, man. Like this
is
just
like, the sounds, the sunshine, it really did, you know, you can't not be cheered up with anything from like just walking around. It kind of felt, you know, like a Sunday you go to like a stately home and you'll look around it as a family or whatever. It's like that, but you know, sun's shining, it's nice.
I don't know, man.
Dave hates National this Trust shit, membership. Don't go to National Trust.
I don't fucking know, man. I found this so dull. I thought the puzzles were far too spread out across too many rooms. I thought it needed to be a little bit more focused. And even when I completed a puzzle, I was like, okay, I don't. It did nothing. So it tries to stop you to brute force it, which makes sense. So you have to do 2 things: you have to grow the plant, and you also have to pin the right clues to the right plant. And
I don't think you have to, do you?
I think you do. Yeah, I think because. Or maybe don't. Did you? What don't you have to do? The clues thing.
I thought you just grew the plant and then you could.
I thought that was part of it. You had to line up. I don't know. Like, I mean, honestly, I'm listening to you talk about what you liked about it, and you said that the it's nice walking around in the sun. Is that a positive we're talking about with this game? Is that what we're leading with, Matt?
Yeah, I'm saying it's like really beautifully presented. Like Matt says, like the sound design and stuff is all. Like, just really nicely done. Like, it's a really nice representation of, like you say, that fucking Sunday afternoon at a stately home sort of thing.
Maybe my Sunday afternoons were sat in front of the telly, mate.
For context, my dad worked at a stately home for my entire life up until about 5 years ago. Yeah. So that's my excuse for having access to this sort of thing.
How did you describe him? He was a... What was his job?
My dad, he's a ranger. He's part ranger.
Ranger. Yeah, I fucking love that. My dad's a ranger. I fucking love that shit. I just found it incredibly dull. It did nothing for me. The characters in it pissed me off. The way they spoke to each other fucking
No one speaks in it.
It's just like, the letters. Ooh, dear Lady Aberforth. I was like, shut
up. It's set in the late 1800s. That's how they spoke.
I know, but shut up. Shut up.
I mean, this was so obviously not going to be your sort of thing, Dave. Why did you even bother?
Because environmental puzzle games.
It's a first person walking like puzzle game. I thought you would like it.
Yeah, and I do like, you know, walking simulators. I've got a lot of time for that. I think my main problem is what I get like chest pains about when I'm playing a game like this is when it's far too open, where I can walk into a room and go, okay, there's a, I want to be able to walk into a room and go, right, there's a puzzle in this room, and I need to work it out to get through to the next bit, right? Which it does a bit of, like it does gatekeeping with keys, you have to unlock keys, if you do certain things, you go back to the gate and there's a key there, someone's delivered a key and they're to another part of the manor or whatever. Which is fine, like I'm all for that. Like, but nothing gets closed off again. And there are times where, like the bit that I'm on now, there are two seeds that you have to work out what to do with, and there are eight clues per seed, maybe 6 to 8 clues per seed. And then there are like 4 or 5 different areas that you need to work on to achieve what you need to achieve. And I'm like, this is too spread out.
See, but I think that's really interesting, though. I think I would find it really boring if everything was just one room and then you park it.
Yeah, but that's it. So it's like, so when I've done escape rooms, because it is very escape roomy, when I've done escape rooms, I fucking hate it when you're like, right, okay, they've given us this like circle thing with holes in it. Let's work out what that is, right? And you spend ages trying to work it out, and then they go, yeah, that's for a puzzle in the next room. And you're going, well, don't put it in this room then. Don't put it in this room then, because I've spent half an hour.
No, you see, because I enjoy thing, that, like, up against sort of holding things in my head and being like, right, like we've picked up this thing, not sure what it's for yet, but just remember it's there. And then in 10 minutes time, we'll go, oh shit, that was that thing we got. Like, I enjoy that. I'm all right with it.
Yeah, fucks me off.
Yeah, I mean there was a bit, I think you enter like a kitchen and the complexity like ramped up. Okay, listen, I'm actually thinking like of there's 3 different plants or 2 different plants, all the clues, which clue really links to each plant, and like does this mean, yeah, it was quite complex. And the last bit, I'm like, I'm trying to basically juggle 3 puzzles at the same time, but I also kind of liked it for that, you know. It was definitely challenging.
Either way, there's some stuff you read where it'll just be like a poem or something and you're like, all right, don't even know really know why that's gone in the clue list, but whatever. And then, yeah, sort of as you figure more stuff out, being like, oh shit, no, that relates to such and such.
I agree, really like but stuff. There are some of the poems that are like, there was one that's like, think about when the was built, and that is the key. And I'm like, that someone wrote a poem with that in it, did they?
Yeah, it wasn't sort of that
up on the wall. Matt, here's the question. How many times did you use a help game FAQ?
Yeah,
because I bet it was a lot.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you said that particular one you just mentioned, right, about the whole like key. I was like, okay, I've done everything else. Why can't I get this thing off the wall? And that was saying, because you actually have to do it later. I'm like, if I don't do it now, am I going to be locked out? Am I going to miss out? So, yeah, I do kind of get it. But yeah,
I think the main takeaway for me was like, you know, I've said before, I have feelings about like cozy games, right? In that I don't feel like anyone can tell me what I'm going to find cozy, because cozy's not like, do you know what I mean? Like most games that describe them.
Such an old man thing to say. That is such an
you
old,
don't get to no, tell me what's cozy.
It's a middle-aged white man thing to say. You can't tell me how to fucking feel.
No, it's like, to me, cozy is not a thematic thing. It's about the familiarity, right? Or the, like something that is, like you know, I've said before, like Dark Souls can be a really cozy game for people because they've played it through 5 times over and they just know it inside out, right? This is, the first game I've played where it aims for that and it worked on me. And so, yeah. So for that, if nothing else, I was like, yeah, well done. Normally, I feel like I'm immune to this stuff, but... I thought this was really nice.
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really pleasant experience.
Tom, you only played the opening bit, but what did you make of it?
Didn't like it much. I can see some appeal, I think, but I got a bit distracted because I did the first bit where you do the wart, whatever it's called, the first plant. I was like, all right, fine, that will grow if I put this heater on with it. Fine, it was magical or whatever. And then I walked out and then there's a tree or a bush glitching above a door.
Yes.
I just kept walking backward and forward to try and replicate to make it happen again. I got distracted doing that for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, the same.
And then I just stopped because I had to do this podcast. But superficially, it looks like a bit like The Witness, right? Like it's got that kind of, I'm not sure if you played The Witness, but The Witness has issues in that the person that made it has
got off the rails,
right? But The Witness is like The Witness is an incredible game, yeah. like from my point of view, like unbelievably good. Mm. And every game I've played since then that is similar in terms of like it's a puzzle game, really, can never match up to that because that blew my mind really as a game. Like if you, I don't want to spoil it because if you haven't played it, I know people talk down about it because of the creator, etc. But it is an amazing game. It has the most mind-blowing moment I've ever had in a video game. Because once you get past a certain point and something else happens in the game that you're like, I can't believe this is happening. And I could have probably seen this a long time ago, but I just didn't. Mm. And it's just like unbelievable. And that, I don't, maybe this is that good, but I doubt
oh,
it.
No, it's not. Well, this no,
is
not.
Yeah, this is it. So that moss that was over the door that was glitching in and out, I thought, oh, like, because it was that obvious, like, and that blatant and that in my eye line. I was like, oh,
it's the Matrix.
Something's going to happen, and suddenly you're not in this house, and it's going to get really dark and fucked up. But my understanding is that it, it's my understanding, I looked at the end on YouTube, it doesn't do
no,
that.
No, that was very just a glitch. Strange. Like, obviously, not having a go at a dev for having a bug in their game, like, these things happen, but it's so early on and so obvious. That yeah, you're like, just like, oh shit, how did that not get fixed? Like it's wild. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah. It happens quite a bit in that. Mm. And I love the idea. I love, you know, look, we can all like deal with video game bullshit, but it is quite funny that she went away for a couple of months and come home and the fucking place is destroyed. I don't know if that tree was supposed to be growing in the middle of it.
I think it was, yeah. But yeah, there's some stuff where like, oh yeah, this entire stairway is collapsed. Soz. Like,
there's a note next to it saying, the stairway's done. Like, it was like their kids had a Facebook party there. It was, I don't know. But not for me.
A Facebook party? Fucking hell, what a reference.
Ages ago, wasn't it? It
probably was like Fendring United era. Okay. But I did love all, like, you know, the kind of narrative and storytelling about the fact that, you know, this woman tried to get, you know, she's trying to work in science, and then all the men were like, no, you know, I think you'd be better doing this, that, and the other, and, you know, just leave us to the men. Mm-hmm. And I really liked, like, you know, seeing how her narrative kind of evolved, and I think it had like a nice ending, frankly. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting seeing that stuff where, you know, she's clearly trying to make a go of this, and she's really good at it. But then all society and men is trying to like, you know, push her down because she's a woman.
It's weird that she went away for that amount of time trying to discover these new plants and what makes them tick, only to return to find everything actually in her house that achieves there is, what she's been looking for, isn't it?
Because there were certain bits where, like, you'll unlock a room, and then you'll get in there, and I can't think of any example, but there will be a sign that she has been there since she got back.
Yeah,
and you're like, why was this locked off then? But
yeah, I think you see a phone charger in one room. Like, you've clearly been here.
Right, okay, that's Botany Man. It's available. No, but
I think it's really good, and I recommend people play it. I know, Dave, you haven't liked it, but I think it's good.
I deleted it already.
Fucking hell, very short one. And
I didn't play too much of it because I finished The Wreck. It was a game that I'd spoken about last week, which is a narrative sort of point and click game. You know, it's what they call them? The novel, visual novel. Sort of
Battle Royale.
It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, my concerns about the opening hour or so, where I thought some of this might be a little bit contrived and it might be bullshit or whatever. It's just not. Like, honestly, James, if you're listening to this, mate, go and play The Wreck. You'll absolutely adore it. The characters in it are so well handled, and the conversations that they have are just so well played out. The overall story, although, is very emotional, very affecting. Like, the stuff that happens in that game, and there's a lot of trigger warnings at the start, and listen to those, you know. It's a really strong story, some really heavy themes. But my word, like, it's exactly what I was after when I loaded up. Open Roads. It was what I was hoping Open Roads would be, and Open Roads was not very good. And this, The Wreck, which I played on PS5, was absolutely fantastic. The more I got into it, the more I really enjoyed it. Some of the writing is absolutely some of the best that I've played in the past few years. So awesome. If you are into visual novel games, definitely check it out.
Yeah, I bought this because it was on offer. I'm not sure it still is, but I bought it and I installed it. It's intend to play it. But yeah, I'm
playing
Matt. Trying.
Yeah, it's re- yeah, it might get you.
I've probably already kind of spent like 2 hours on the title screen, honestly, but just other things are happening. But I didn't mention this,
but it's got this really cool fucking pause mechanic where, like, you're not actually, how do I put it? So it's like the story that you're playing is not actually a story of the game. It's being written by someone, right? Mm. So when you press pause, it brings up a notepad with the script, of the scenes that you've just seen.
That's nice.
And when you unpause, it takes like 5 seconds where they write the last line that was said out in front of you, and then it goes into the game and you're seeing it like all happening. It's just brilliant. Like I really recommend it actually. And it would have probably been on our Game of the Year show had I played it last year. But exactly that level, you know, that last stop, that open road sort of level of or type game that I was really in the mood for, and I wish I'd played this instead of Open Roads, which I did.
That's not a state of Open Roads anymore.
Wasn't very good though, was it?
No, it wasn't. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't very good. That's why I'm excited to play this.
But that's what I've been playing. Tom, you've been playing Returnal. That's an interesting one. Why have you gone back to this?
Well, I was playing God of War Ragnarok because I thought, I finally get around to it. That took me about 3 months because I play like, it takes me ages to finish games, like half an hour a night. And it just get through them very slowly. And then I was about to turn the PlayStation off a few weeks ago to do Alan Wake on the Xbox, finally do Alan Wake 2 on the Xbox. But I saw Returnal there on the little bar at the top of the PlayStation. I thought, right, I won't bother. I was about to go, it's a weekend. I wouldn't have much time to play over the weekend. So I thought I'll just give this a go for us to Alan Wake next week. And it's a really good Returnal. It's really good. It's a really nice game to play. It feels like a proper gamey game. And that sounds a bit shit, but it just feels like a nice tight game to play, right?
The movement is just so spot on.
And then you get
once you get
like the sword thing and like you're dashing around, it feels really cool to play. But, and this ties into a bit of the feeling sad bit earlier segment, is that I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough. And I've done like, because of the time I have to play games these days is quite short. I've been doing this about 2 weeks. I still haven't beaten the first boss.
Right.
And I'm like, as I've got to just call it. I'm not going to do it. I haven't got time to invest hours a week to never get anywhere. And I want to be better at it because I really like playing it. But I get to that boss and I'm like, it just gets me. And I'm like, fourth wave, whatever it is, and I'll get taken out. And I'm like, it's really annoying because it looks great, plays great. It's got a really cool, like, the whole setup of it, the way it works, etc. And it's got really cool, like, it's one of the few games that feels like it's made use of the PlayStation 5 controller nicely.
My son picked
it up. I was like, whoa. Because he's a big Xbox gamer. And he was like, because that's on all the time in our house. But the PlayStation was on. He had a go. And it's like, I didn't know that it could do all this cool stuff. I said, yeah, some games actually are quite good with that. But I can't. I'm just not good enough. I don't know what it is. I'm just old. I can't do stuff like I used to be able to do. Like, I used to be able to do, in God of War, I used to be able to parry attacks. I can't do it anymore. I'm just so bad. I fail every single time at trying to parry something. I tweaked it down the settings, like, make parrying easier, like, open a massive window, and I'm still doing it wrong.
Didn't they address this, though? Because I played Returnal when it first came out, and there were no difficulty settings or anything. Aren't there difficulty settings now?
I don't think so. I think it's just... you can pause it now, right? Or save it or whatever. I think the big thing was there was no way of resuming, and you can do that now.
I should just say Jim Trinker's entered the chat and asking how the fuck you're still awake. Don't you need a nap after 20 minutes? Are you struggling, Tom?
I'm normally in bed by now, to be fair.
Well, I've just got another 90 minutes left.
I mean, I love Returnal. I genuinely love the themes, the style of it. Like, it's so stylish. But you're right, it was too hard for me. I think I got to, like, the third or fourth boss, And that was because it ramps up way more than that first boss. Like it only gets harder. I remember the third biome or whatever it's called just being ridiculous. Like I remember thinking, I'm done. I cannot keep bashing my head against the wall, and it kills me because it's one of the most stylish and fun shooters that I've played in forever. And there are upgrades that you get along the way, like you can buy lives, you can increase your health and all that sort of stuff. But I never got to the point where I felt like I was going to be able to complete that game. And I when you saw people on Rollmuck starting to complete it, I was so jealous of them because I wanted to see everything that game had. Like, it was so beautiful. That you're right, yeah, it just killed me that I never really got to the end of it. So you didn't even get to see did you get to see any of the house scenes?
I've been in the house once, yeah.
The house stuff was really cool.
It was fucking horrific, that stuff. proper spooky.
Spooky.
I really want to be able to do more of it, but I know it's just going to be a constant struggle, and I'll be doing this all year, and I'd have got to like the second biome, whatever it's called, eventually, and I'd just be like, I've wasted my life.
I know the word biome existed before Returnal, but was that the point where every level in every game ever after that
become
was
a biome?
Well, because it refers specifically existed, to like when there's like a type of level with like a certain theming or climate or whatever. But then there's randomization within.
I think
that,
Minecraft was one of the big. My son's big into Minecraft. And he's always on about biomes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And wasn't it the Tomb Raider, the Tomb Raider reboot, where people were saying, no, it's not open world, they're sort of little biomes?
Oh, maybe.
Wasn't that when...
What? Nah, surely not.
But, all right. Fucking hell. I'm sure that's what they would describe that as the time. And I think that's the first time I heard that. And I was like, what? I didn't say what. I went, yeah, biomes, yeah. Just sort of nodded and went, yeah, no,
yeah,
I know exactly what you're chatting about,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, yeah.
What? What?
You stole my life. I'd say tube. So that's Returnal. Do you know what? I would love to go back to it at some point, but only if I knew that you could turn the difficulty right down. Like, if it got to that, then I would genuinely play through that game. And it's such a shame because I don't think we're going to see a Returnal 2. Because if I remember correctly, they were really disappointed by how that game performed. Man, if you've got a PS5 and you've got the PS Plus thing, then definitely give it a go because it's worth it just to see how beautiful that game is in the opening few areas. Like, it's great.
Biomes.
It is great. Biomes. And the only other game we've got down here is Destiny 2, Sean. Are you being fucking serious?
I'm being very quick.
What is wrong with you?
I just thought I'd check in and see what it's like loading it up after not playing it for best part of a year.
Is this because you watched the Final Shape trailer?
The Final Shape trailer also helped.
Bungie are the best at trailer art, aren't
they?
They've done bad ones in the past, but like now you know it's like a new Destiny DLC, you'll watch the trailer and you will be pumped as fuck. I mean,
yep.
The trailers are always fantastic, always.
Yeah. And like there's this new activity called Into the Light or something, which is free for everyone to take part in, and it's a good way of getting like new like very high tier gear. It's fine from what I've played of it. Like, it's basically like a wave-based horde mode, which is weird because on the one hand you're like, well, this isn't particularly inspired, but also it is really good fun, and it's like, well, why didn't they could have done this years ago? This is quite basic stuff. So that's fine, and yeah, but it's just the usual mess of like, because I haven't played like the last two seasons, it's like introducing both of them as if they're new, because they are new to me. Like, they haven't happened yet in my sort of timeline, right? Except they have happened in the game's timeline. So it's like, right, so this was all the last season's missions, here's all seven of them. Like, you know, just sorry, Jim Trinks in the chat has just pointed out that I'm, yeah, you're correct, Yaxi AirPods. I've even got the fucking. This is going to be shit for the podcast listeners. I framed the fucking Yaxi AirPods leaflet that came with them. That's normal behaviour, isn't it?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
We know he's got these headphones.
Also, Tom, is there part of you that's really pissed off that Jim is trying to upstage you in the chat at the moment? Like, you can't get away from him.
He loves me.
Yeah, well, because you always take the piss out of my headphones. So, you know, as soon as someone actually recognises them in a positive way, I'm like,
just
yes,
get some
get
normal
in.
Headphones, Sean. Like,
they are normal headphones. Saying. They're absolutely okay. Fine. Sure, just don't ever take them out of the house. You'll be fine.
If you're fucking, if you're the Star Lord, they're normal headphones. But, go on.
No one made that joke. I got these new earpads last week and no one said anything. Very upset.
I just did.
Fine. Destiny 2 is fine. I think I've run out of... I can't get any more dopamine out of it at this point. And after about 400 hours, I think that's probably fine.
Yeah, it's okay to move on with your life, isn't it? Yeah. 400, it's got to be more than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I daren't check. But then
I played more than that.
It's across like various platforms as well, so who fucking knows?
When I look at that stuff, it's so depressing. And it's really easy to find on the Xbox app. Like how long you've put into... Yeah, like I look at Rocket League, you go to stats. Now, this is just on the Xbox, and so not including PS5, PS4, and the Switch versions that I've played. I played it for 36 days, 23 hours, and 59 minutes. That's... FC24 that come out in September, I've played that for 6 days and 13 hours. It's ridiculous. I don't mention it on the show because it would be boring for me to do that. God knows how many hours I've put into Helldivers at this point. Just before we recorded, I just got to level 25, Sean. I'm getting my robot suit, mate. Don't you worry about that. Just well unlocked it. I imagine that you have played it for more than what you're saying there, Sean. I think
probably.
But
I can just not check, and that's absolutely fine.
What have you been playing it on? What are you playing?
I play on Xbox now, but obviously I used to play it on PS4.
I
can
totally check for you. I can check for you. That's the beauty
of
it.
Please do.
I can totally check for you.
So yeah, Sean, the final shape. So that's the last DLC of this
the
current
Light and Dark
saga. When's it out again?
I don't know. Can't remember. It's not too far. It's this year. I know that much.
Is it June? Maybe it might be June.
Come here for all your news.
I guess crucially, like, aren't they like mixing two subclasses now?
Like, yes, they're adding these prismatic subclasses apparently, which let you sort of mix things up, which could be really interesting. I mean, it's still really fun to play, but I was just like, same. It's the same stuff, and that's fine. And I just don't need to play any more of it at this point.
I can tell you really easily how long you've been playing it. You ready?
Yeah, go on.
What did you say? How many days?
I assumed it was like 200 or 300 hours or something, but maybe not.
Oh, right. No, you have played it for 46 days. No, I'm joking. 6 days, 9 hours and 44 minutes. That's not too bad.
Is that just on Xbox?
That's just on Xbox, yeah.
You got to count the PS4 hours as well.
Okay, I haven't got that information in front of me.
You've
right
got
now.
To count the numbers.
Got to. give me my fucking credit where it's due. Destiny 2, fine.
Okay. come here for all your gaming opinions. Bit here, the computer game show. That is what we've been playing this week. Questions from our listeners, and then we can go home.
If you want to send us a question, go to tcgs.co/dearTCGS. Lee says, could Tom look into his camera and give us all a big smile, please?
No.
No? Okay.
That's that one. one question ticked off.
Yep.
Yeah, done.
I figured it would be easy. Either way, it would be a quick one. Simon DM says, hey, guys, just wanted to, this is going to sound self-aggrandizing that I've included this in the question section, but here we go. Just wanted to give a massive thanks to Sean. A while ago on the show, he opened up about his ADHD and was explaining how it affects him. It was literally like he was talking about me. I've always struggled since I was a kid, but never really understood why. Long story short, after a long wait, I was finally diagnosed with ADHD a couple of weeks ago, and it's been pretty life-changing, to be honest, and that's all thanks to Sean. I am brilliant, actually, now you mention it. Yes, but then he says there is a question attached to this. As someone with ADHD, how do you manage to finish games? It's something I've always struggled with. I'll get bored so quickly and end up playing a game I've played 1,000 times already. Thanks for all the great podcasts you guys have put out. Been listening for years. Love all the great guests too, especially that James Farley chap. I mean, the short answer is, I mean, you've listened to the show. I don't really finish games. So.
Do you not?
No, you hardly
finish
ever.
Games quite a bit. How the fuck you play Botany Manor? With ADHD is beyond me.
Well, it's 4 hours. Because I found it engaging.
Stop
so I, yeah,
saying it's, that. Matt, you said it's only 4 hours, like 14 times.
But it's because it's short. That's why it's probably finished it.
Well, I think I finished it in about half that.
Yeah, probably.
When Matt said to me, he went, do you know what's really cool? It does that thing where it's like, it's not too hard. Like the puzzles are achievable, and I thought, well, that's gonna be too easy then. That's what Matt thinks. A piece of piss. He struggled with the puzzles in Resident Evil 2.
I knew that first one. Leon SK.
The one where it was carved into the desk. There was like a 4-digit code you had to put in, and it was carved into the desk about 3 centimeters away from where you input the code.
Yeah, I thought it was like talking about letters on the desk.
You're running around the room.
Yeah. Well, anyway. That's why I don't stream anymore.
God, Sean.
I often don't finish games. That's why I often talk about the first 3 hours of games on the show, and then you'll just never really hear me mention them again.
Right.
Which is always a shame, because, you know, people, like, then like 6 months later, someone will be like, Sean said this was good, and then he never fucking mentioned it again, so what's the fucking deal, man? The deal is brain problems. Don't worry about it. It's not the game's fault. Maria Mendieta says, dear TCGS Cotton the Witch, I spent an inordinate amount of time this weekend accompanying a friend from retro game shop to retro game shop in search of a Super Game Boy. She thought the decorative borders would be the optimal way to revisit her Game Boy collection. What is the biggest hassle you're willing to go through in order to play a game, past or present? Keep up the stellar work. Sincerely, Maria.
Mate, I would go to play Pac-Man Versus. I'd track everything down again to play that again. I fucking love that game. Mm-hmm. Do you ever play Pac-Man Versus, Tom?
Was that the Wii U one?
It was on GameCube, you plugged your Game Boy Advance
I do remember
into
that.
The GameCube.
I remember, I think similarly, I played a lot of hassle to play that Zelda game where you had to have Game Boys plugged in. Do you remember that
one? Was that Four Swords?
Four Seasons?
Four Swords, I think,
Four Seasons. Not quite as good.
Similar.
So, you be summer, I'll be autumn.
Matt's like, I'm thinking about classical music again.
I try to think of other games that like I would go out my way for. I think, you know, having a LAN a Time Splitters 2 session again is something that I've always wanted to do, but it's just my problem is not finding the hardware, it's finding the people that also give a shit. They're harder to find, I think, than a fucking PS2 multi-tap.
Yeah.
Like, it's really tough to try and get.
Do you want to play Time Splitters 2
this weekend? No, I don't. Oh, okay.
I think, like, you know, we were saying in the new section, Feeling Sad, earlier, is that, like, the worst part is you can get all the stuff now. You can still get all the stuff if you really want to, you know, buy all the things you had when you were a kid. But it's just, the situation's not the same. The people aren't there.
I bid on a PS2 on eBay about a month ago. Mm-hmm. I bid more than I thought I wanted to, really, and I was winning it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And over the days, I regretted it more and more and more that I'd bid like 150 quid on a PS2.
It was a PS2,
and it was about like 60 games as well, right? It had a lot of stuff, and it had all the controllers and memory cards and everything else. And day by day, it was like 2 weeks left on this thing, and it got closer and closer. And I was like, please, someone outbid me, please. I don't want this anymore. I regret everything about this decision, because I knew I was never going to play it. It's just going to sit in this room. Yeah. I mean, right now, I'd look at it and go, what a waste. So I was like, and thankfully I was outbid. So it's a happy ending there. I just wanted to play Burnout 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted it for. Didn't even come with Burnout 3, this bundle. Because all the bundles on eBay, if you look, it's always like 12 copies of FIFA, a couple of Tiger Woods games, some random management game like LMA Manager or something.
The Bouncer, Phantom.
Yeah, and like all the shit. And then it'd be like, I also kind of like it comes with like the worst sort of all the Silent Hill games, and all the ones you actually want to try and play.
I'm looking here. Black PlayStation 2 with a 2 terabyte hard drive filled with games, obviously. £140. What were you thinking?
I wanted legit. That's piracy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's naughty.
I'm not getting involved in that.
But not
I wanted
real
to
authentic.
I wanted
piracy.
To open the case and see the game and the manual and be like, this is a happy memory for me.
Can you plug FIFA. A PS2 into the back of your TV at this point?
I don't even know. I didn't even get that far to think. That's one of the things I did worry about, is that would it even work? There's no room under my TV. I've had to unplug my son's Switch from the TV. So now he can't play it on the TV. It's only a handheld to him now. And he's like, can I have it on the TV, Dad? No, you cannot, because I've got every other thing plugged into this thing.
But it's now a Switch Lite.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It is mad that modern TVs don't have like 8 HDMI ports. Mm. Like, why not? Why have they only got 4?
I've got a new TV. Yeah, so it's a good TV. It's got 4. I'm like, there's just not enough. I know most people aren't like us and have like every console in the world. Yeah. But I find it annoying.
I find it annoying too. And especially when one of them's like, oh, plug your speakers into this. No, I don't want to plug my fucking speakers into the HDMI port. What's that about?
Well, you just need to get into the deeply twatty world of AV amps. Then you're all fine.
Yeah, I live in a two-bed flat, though, so my neighbours would not appreciate me whacking in a fucking massive amp.
Yeah, fair dues.
How the fuck is the original PS2 better looking than the PS5? It's mad, isn't it? Like, that console looks way better than the PS5.
I don't know, the original PS2, I don't know, man.
Oh, like that.
Yeah, man, oh, I liked it.
I suppose weird in an interesting way, rather than just like, oh, good, it's a
Matt
cheap router.
He's biting his lip because he wants to mention the rotating PlayStation logo. I can tell.
Oh, it went in my mind, and then I thought, nah.
It's the best.
I can tell.
Wait, no, because that was mentioned literally last week or the week before, wasn't it? Yeah, or maybe when I was on the show.
Yeah.
Tired
material.
Is that the era then, Tom, for you? Is that the one that you want to go back to more than any other?
PS2. I always think about going back to like Mega Drive, because I was an actual kid then. But PS2 was like, PS2 was the era when I was writing about games a fair bit.
I didn't have any money.
But I remember back in those days, I was running like early days Video Gamer, before it was even called Video Gamer. It used to be called Pro G. Bizarre name, but it became Video Gamer, right? And Frog. we're at university, and I used to come back from lectures or whatever, and when you open the door, you'd feel the force against it, because all the promo copies on PS2 had been delivered. So you'd get I'd get like 10 or 12 discs in the post. I missed that, because that was like a, what have I got today? It's a copy of Alice in Wonderland on the PS2. Excellent. Oh, it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory on PS2. Just what I was looking forward to. But it was a nice, I like that. Like, these days you get a code in an email. It's like, nah, that's all right.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as an unbranded blank disc. That used to
the
get
blank
in a jiffy
disc,
bag.
It was with like, it had the name of the game just printed on it in blue text, and it was silver, wasn't it? The same as the other side, this side had the name of it on.
At one point, we got like, once you got to a certain level, you got access to stuff that only run on test PS2s, right? And we used to get sent a lot of this stuff, and they always had on them, you must return this. Once you finish with it, we never returned a single one. Tossed it in the corner of the office somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, when we started getting, we went for a period when we were on Play Radio with JoyPod. That was when we started getting insane amount of code through the post, because we had a producer that used to go and source all this sort of stuff. And it was always those, do you remember the 360 disc with a big yellow stripe along the middle of it, like say promo or whatever like that? I used to love that shit, just getting stacks of that and just going, yeah, I'll fucking play it. And then and then you realize that actually games aren't that very good, really, are they? So the majority of them, it's better now just to play the games that you want to play. I think that's the realization I've had in the past 10 years. But what was the question?
What games would you want to play? Lengths you'd go to play a game.
Download it.
Yeah.
Some people won't even do that.
Still one update. Put new batteries in the controller. Time is money. I can't be,
He doesn't play many games these days, as Matt.
Too busy.
Question.
Yeah.
It's from MD Kraboffs, and he says, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Who else's legs am I going to wash? Yes, of course I do.
How do you not wash your legs in the shower? They just.
You really are the Chandler. as the group, aren't you, Matt?
Could I be any less funny?
He really is. Just fires them out, doesn't he? I used to, but then I watched a video the other day that was like, oh, you've got more bacteria in your leg if you wash your legs. I was like, what?
How do you get, what, how do you get more bacteria in your legs by washing your legs?
What are you washing
legs?
It with? Bacteria?
Yes.
Like, yeah. how can you washing your leg possibly make it worse?
Because I wash the soap off with my own piss.
But that's antibacterial, isn't it?
I don't think it's antibacterial, man.
That's what that explorer dude, Bear Grylls, told me. Not personally. To one of the shows. But what have you watched that says washing your legs
is worse? This is what's annoying, and this is why this fucking show doesn't work, because no one gives a shit about the video game chat, and we're gonna get so many messages and feedback next week about pissing on your own legs. Like,
that's a standard week, though, to be fair.
This is not why we're not winning the Independent Podcast Awards again this year. It's not going to happen because...
Well, I won't send them this section.
Okay, good. Send them another section.
Yeah, I'll send them the bit where Tom felt sad.
Mm. Yeah, send them that. I guess that's a fucking award. Do you wash your legs?
Yes,
Sean?
I do, yes.
How do you avoid washing your legs in the shower?
Because there's a difference between washing your legs and letting the water just drain off your legs.
But like all the, I mean, without, you know, vividly describing me having a shower.
Sure, last week we talked about how he's shit. It's fine.
Doesn't like all the soap, because all the soap just sort of gets on him, and then I'll like give him a scrub.
I've never seen a guest regret coming on the show this much.
I feel like I've gone back about 15 years to when this used to be my life more.
Well, there you go.
Glory days.
I thought I'd gone past it. And we had that chat about how we're all 40 odd. And then, but this is still happening.
Yeah. Format still works.
Yeah, those fucking youngsters, I bet they don't wash their legs, do they? Filthy.
Probably not.
What do you mean? You lift your leg up, you wash your leg.
why do you need to lift it?
To rub it.
It's just there.
Over.
You don't need to lift. I can reach it without lifting
over,
it.
Dear. Oh, I don't want to think about that.
Oh, God, this is mad. Tom, do you wash your legs?
I mean, sometimes, I think. I mean, often, it's just like the trickle water goes down them, I guess.
It's a trickle down effect.
Sometimes I think, well, why not put some shower gel directly on? Yeah. I'm feeling
on
it.
On the leg.
As a treat.
Because it's expensive now. Seen it. You can't even get a fucking bottle of shower gel for £1 in the pound shop no more. It's a piss take. Goodbye, everyone.
Maybe forever.
Yeah, I think this show's on its course now.
Should we get to socials?
Yes. Sean, are you streaming this week?
Oh, fuck, yeah. Am I?
When is it not time for Lego? Like, what's the deal?
It is time for Lego. It's also time...
It would be time for Lego if you fucking bought Lego, but he didn't. He bought some Chinese knockoff of Lego, so no, it's not time for Lego.
It would be time for Lego, it's also time for a very few difficult weeks at work. So I'm going to say no this week, but soon I'm going to build some flipping Lego.
Dave, I just want to say, right, I was this close to saying, and you're bricking it, but I didn't. I didn't
okay,
say
well
that.
Done. Well
yeah,
done.
Thank you.
I used that AI-generated music website to make a song about how Matt puns are shit this week, and I think he might have taken it to heart.
Oh, no. Maybe I could put it at the end of the show.
Okay.
Send it to me, yeah. Okay, so no streams this week. James will be back maybe the week following, and then maybe there'll be some streams. Who knows? But if you want to...
When is he? Is he back on the show next week?
He is,
allegedly.
God damn.
I know.
If you miss our streams that we're not doing and you want to watch them later, go to YouTube, search for TCGS, and if you've got Amazon Prime and a Twitch account, connect to them and you get one free sub a month. Why not go over to our channel when we're streaming or even when we're not streaming and give us your free sub? We really, really appreciate it. We're on Patreon, which is patreon.com/TCGS for our exclusive monthly bonus podcast, for our streams, talk servers, whatever we're doing for patrons. And the website is tcgs.co. For links to our amazing Discord community, store to buy the James Farley t-shirt, podcast, socials, anything else, it's all there.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope you have enjoyed it on some level.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. I just want to leave you with one little thing, and that is, this week on the Best Games Ever podcast, on VG247 and other podcast platforms, I do a little bit about the day Princess Diana died and how I was playing snooker that morning. So if you want to hear the full story, that's quite the tease, I know. So find that. It's out on Tuesdays. Tuesday afternoon, you'll figure out, you'll see what that's...
Professionally, or were you a good snooker player?
I was a good snooker player, yeah. I played for years. I kind of played, like, clubs and stuff, and played for, like, the district as a kid. I was a good snooker player. I was never good enough. Just one of those things, right, where you're never quite good enough, but...
Yeah. You never quite got your big break.
Life in general.
Yeah. Shut up, Matt. Fuck you, Matt, forever. Fuck off, Matt. I fucking hate you. Definitely listen to that podcast, though. I genuinely love it. And, like, I really enjoy that pod. And I think you should have kept up your football management.
Yeah. How many listeners does this get a week?
12?
Unique.
I don't think we announced that, do we?
Am I going to see an uptick on the My Show?
Possibly. I'd be interested to see. The problem is you've left it to the socials to mention it.
I mentioned it right at the beginning as well. But maybe when you tweet this out, you could just do a little...
Matt, just can you put do that?
I'll tell you what, I'll put a link in the show notes.
Put that bit in, yeah.
A link in the show notes. No one reads the show notes. That's the problem. What's the name of the podcast again? Let's get that out of there.
Best Games Ever Podcast.
Best Games Ever Podcast. It'd be
it's
nice
30
to...
minutes. Unlike this, it's very tight and sort of to the
people
point.
People love it when they're 3 hours, though. Maybe you should make it longer.
This is a short one, really.
Yep.
But no, thanks so much for having you on. It's good to finally sort of virtually meet you. Jesus, we've been chatting on the internet for, God, it must be close to 10 years now. So, okay. Well, some of us are more happier about that than others. Thank you so much for living it, everyone. We will catch you next week. James will be back. Sorry about that. We will see you then. Goodbye, everybody.
Cheerio.
Goodbye.